you when your ears refuse to hear. You turn your heart away from me each time when I draw near. Your eyes refuse to meet with mine, they glance away in fear, as if you should not look at your reflection in the mirror. How can I explain to you when you won't understand? You scoff me and you mock me and reject the truth at hand. You spread your vicious rumors all across this troubled land. You willfully and knowingly transgress from his command. Your mind has been made up by people you don't know. Thought machines control the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend this sinful subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like many thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded? So well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are so blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies?
Recorded live.
Greetings, ogling, wagger, mams, and ass clowns across the fruited nut Zog Plain. In the open-air coast-to-coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But also, and really mainly, this episode and every episode is aimed at the remnant, to the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Now this is episode number 112 and a half, and tonight is Thursday, the 8th of March, 2012, and it's around 8:30 or so, Granby Unstandard Central Time, so to speak. Maybe it's daylight time, I'm not quite sure which, but it's Granby Unstandard Time. And the name of this show is called Zogbot Blowback, the decentralization of, quote, domestic terrorism. And folks, the reason I call that, like a Zogbot, is a Zog Agent Provocateur. And folks, there's been a lot of them being revealed. Like Sunday, we went ahead and talked about, well, how it got revealed. Surprise, 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 Sergeant Carter, that Jeff Shoup was essentially just an idiot who essentially had a Arab nigger wife and had a nigger stepdaughter that everybody knew about for years. And here he was lying and lying and lying and lying about. So then he goes ahead earlier this year. He finds himself some new poontang. Essentially, the bitch goes ahead and steals his little spiral notebook and sends it off to the One Niggers Project and Mark Patak and whoever else here. And this Brian Holland that Covington, a number of people talked about being a Zogbot. And folks, what you end up having as a result of these agent, you know, Zog agent provocateurs, going ahead, like in the case of Dennis Mahan and his younger, quieter, twin brother, Daniel, loudmouth Dennis goes ahead and gets convicted. What you end up doing is that essentially what Zog is doing is the stupidest stuff imaginable to run a secret police force. What you want to do is that you want to go ahead and bring in the dangerous, quote, terrorists. Instead, what they're doing is that they're bringing in the more idiotic and dysfunctional and stupid that everybody have always thought were, well, agent provocateurs. Or if not agent provocateurs, just fucking retards. At the same time, as a result of all, you know, of these, of this deadwood, these idiots, these criminals being taken down at the top, what you end up having is a decentralization of domestic terrorism to where essentially what is going on, like with the militia movement. I was talking to a person who was active in the militia movement about 15, 20 minutes before this show started, and he's not doing too well. And I'm not going to say who his name is. I was sort of gloating about Red Mike Vanderkuyk being, being a big fat bastard who's dying of, dying of type 2 diabetes. And they said there's a 20% chance that the big fat kike will croak here, which I think is wonderful. But what, going on is that ever since, what happens in 2009 was sort of like what happened in 1993, in that here are all these white people and all these conservative people, and they're scared shitless here when Bill Clinton was elected, and same way when this nigger communist is elected here, who's not even an American nigger. And essentially, here he is. He comes to power, and just like in 2009, we had the same thing happen in 1993. With Waco and all this sort of thing, the Brady Bill, the magazine bill, to where more and more guns were being bought. So as a result, now you end up having, the older guns here, the Russian Moise Nagants or something like that. These old Tsarist, these old Tsarist level, bolt action rifles here. Some of them real good, some of them shit. Essentially, you have all these things being made, being bought, and it's just like a torrent, like Mark Kernke said in 1993 and 1994. It's just like water being poured out of a big old pipeline into a desert, and 10 minutes later, you don't see any of the water. It's just soaked in. And that's what people are doing. But unlike the militia movement of 1993, 1994, and then the suburban Whigger constipational militia that I've talked about of 1995, 1996 to 1997, and then falling apart in 1998, 1999, because they were trying to go ahead and find all these people they had supposedly kicked out who had gone underground. Today's militia movement is not really a movement. Essentially, all it is the people going ahead and following what I call the three-part program of the 10,000 Warlords program, the decentralization of, quote, domestic terrorism. It's not really domestic terrorism. I'm going ahead and call it TEWWOWISM here as a joke, because essentially they view anybody who decides to keep his own children, keep his own life, to keep his own money as a, quote, domestic terrorist. Okay? And what people are doing is that depending on what they believe, they're getting it right with their creator. You know, I believe it's Yahweh for the white chosen seed of Israel's race. And number one is getting right with Yahweh that you be deemed the elect and remnant worthy of survival. Number two, you work in tandem with only your family or close friends that you wish to take along with you in order to watch your back. There are some members of your family who it would be better if they were dead. And number three is know who your local regime criminals and sympathizers are so that when there is a total breakdown of civilization, they can be blamed and subsequently exterminated en masse with their assets confiscated under your local warlord acting as a military dictator under racial, religion, dual seedline, Christianity once the masses or them asses are destroyed. And folks, I think that listening to the movement turd is, well, better in a survival aspect here than even watching reruns of The Walking Dead. I mean, essentially, those people on The Walking Dead do stupid shit all the time here, and supposedly they're saved by clever G writers or something like that here, you know, from their own stupidity. Well, folks, it's not clever G writers going to go ahead and save you. It's you understanding where you are at. And I was talking with this guy who used to be with the militia, you know, back in the day, and pretty well, he's not doing too well himself here. But I was talking about, I sort of remembered him because old Claire the Jukal's Mattoid Militia, when he had banned another one of my sock puppets for assholery, you know, after 2 years of laying low. And in any case, folks, this is what you do. You go ahead and don't worry like, you know, we did foolishly in 1993-1994 of restoring the constipation. You know what I mean? So, who cares? Die young. Every day is a good day to die. Anyway, for the end is nigh. Anyway, Russell called me a packy nigger. Well, you behave yourself, packy nigger, okay? So, where was I at here? I'm going to go ahead and wait for Russ to go ahead and call in a little bit. Russ is, I was yelling at Russ the other day. Russ sort of annoyed me. You know, he was being rough for again. And pretty well I got a little bit annoyed. And I'll probably apologize to Russ for if he calls in here. This is about some other thing not connected to the movement turd. And Russ was trying to go ahead and save me so I can live to his ripe old age of 68. And in any case, I'm going to go ahead and get on with reading this thing. So, folks, what you have is that you have, as a result of these idiots, and I include the Wigger Whimper, Edgar Steele, as being another one of these idiots. Essentially, he believed that New America could go ahead and we're going to go ahead and centralize, get in mass here and go against Washington, D.C., or New York, or Los Angeles, or our local state capitals, or even our county seats. And we're going to go ahead and hang the lawyers and the banksters and the pig lice, you know, to a lamppost. Not that there are hardly any lampposts left here. But anyway, you know, maybe we'll go ahead and give them a Mexican hanging by going ahead and string them along, you know, by the necks here, handcuffed, you know, and drag them along behind their Crown Vicks here. Who knows? Who cares? And essentially, it's not going to go ahead and play out that way. For a short time, when things are falling apart, they say that you're what? They're really 3 days or three meals, 9 meals away from a total, you know, loss of civilization. Well, folks, we're going to have a loss of civilization. Time's coming closer and closer and closer at hand. As a result, the Zoglings and the Zogbots and the pigs, they're getting scared. And I was looking at this Southern Poverty Law Center 2012 spring issue, and some people can say, well, they're just trying to go ahead and get some money from the Jews and the progressives and the liberal Whiggers. You know, tell them that the Klansmen are after them, the Christian Identity Maniacs are after them. And oh, by the way, I'm listed on a Christian Identity Maniac Aryan Nations for Granby, Missouri, and Southwest Missouri. So I've made the catalog, you know, so to speak, but they don't like talking about me too much. Anyway, folks, what you end up having, and by the way, maybe Andy can go ahead and tell me McFang's experiencing a Crohn's flare. Well, if he's not, he ought to be. I did go ahead and respond to Obagender Bender and McFag from the May 1st episode. I was listening to today's episode last night. And folks, I'm going to be hurting by this time tomorrow, because tomorrow I'm going to go ahead and get a number of teeth that were knocked out by the pigs here, broke off at the gums. I'm finally going to go ahead and get them pulled. And essentially there's a sort of a cheap clinic here which will go ahead and pull them for $10 a piece as opposed to $40 a piece. So I may get two, maybe three if I'm lucky, of these broken off, teeth, pulled out. So I'm going to be hurting tomorrow. But in any case, getting on to what is coming down the road, I talked to this militia guy, and he pointed out is that it is far more than in 1993 and 1994. And like I remembered in 1995, all these survivalists who had tried to talk into going above ground, said, 2 days after Oklahoma City and Timothy McVeigh and Michigan militia and all this sort of thing, well, we're not going to do that. Well, folks, these new militias are not going ahead and advertise themselves. Any militia that goes ahead and advertises itself is essentially a Zog False Front organization or a suburban Whigger who has delusions of constipationality. Avoid such creatures. What you end up having is that we have gone through a number of cultural and financial Stalingrads to where most of the people in Germany understood after the winter of 1942 to 1943, that essentially Germany was going to lose. Well, folks, Zog Babylon is going to lose. Now, just like Bismarck said of Russia, is that Russia is neither as strong or as weak as it appears, and same thing with Zog Babylon. It's neither as strong or weak as it appears. But, folks, it's history. It's already written. In fact, it's written from Revelations chapter 4 to Revelations chapter 20 as to what's going to happen to Zog Babylon, the Babylonian system, which has gone ahead and taken over from the Israelites, being run by a cadre of evil spawn of Satan Jews and treasonous Whiggers and Mamzers and the rest here. Folks, there is no saving Zog Babylon. And in any case, there is no saving it. So what to do? Well, you can work as best you can on saving yourself. Saving yourself. And even if you don't have any leadership ability, live life simply as possible. Go ahead, make sure you have enough food, make sure you have enough weaponry, make sure you have enough of what you need to get by. And folks, there's no amount of preparation which is enough, but there's enough preparation, you can do preparation to where it's good enough, or it gives you a better chance. That's where getting right with Yahweh comes in. And folks, this Southern Poverty Law Center, all these pigs running around going to and fro, that tells me that Zog understands that the cultural, social and financial Stalingrad has come and gone. There is no law. There is no order at all. And so what we need to do is we need to understand that. We need to understand that very well. And so what happens is that some people are not only, whether or not they're listening to me, what they're doing is they don't have to listen to me. You don't have to go ahead and have a watch in order to go ahead and look out and see whether or not it's day or night. You don't have to go ahead and look at your watch in order to go ahead. All you have to do is look out your window and see what the weather is outside. And folks, people are seeing what the weather is. Those people who live in Missouri, they know that what happens, the weather patterns go from west to east. So essentially what is occurring in Kansas and Oklahoma is going to go ahead and occur here in southwest Missouri in just a short time. be it a half hour, an hour, maybe 2 hours. If there is a thunderstorm heading that way, and there's one in Kansas, Oklahoma, well, it's going to be heading our way pretty soon. Okay? And just like today, we end up having a little bit of a rainstorm, but we had some sleet, so it turned cold here, southwest Missouri. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break, and I'm going to go ahead and see if Russ won't call in next here. Folks, what I've been doing is I have 111.5, and I have 112 up, and pretty well it's 32 KPS on the TalksJew site. And it's, it's what, 16 KPS on the Mamzers.org site. And by the way, another thing I did is, pretty well I found out that Pastor Linstead I thought was under my name, and it wasn't. So what happens, I rectified that and got it under my name again. So I'll be getting that PastorLinstead.org site back up. But it's going to go ahead. Essentially, I went ahead and spent about $100 to buy 5 years of domain names for PastorLinstead.org. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break and wait for Russ to go ahead and call in. I also apologize for yelling at him the other day. And we'll go ahead with the next segment of the Movement Turd. Hail victory, folks.
Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away. Stupid Wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being caught long stone on freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, this is Russ.
Yep.
Well, Russ, I'd like to apologize for yelling at you the other night.
You sound like Cheney today.
Huh?
You sound like Logan a little bit.
Well, Logan does apologize too here. It's just that afterwards he says, I don't know why that wrestler gets to me, but he does get to me after a while here.
I'm not trying to.
Well, I don't know if you tried to or not here. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna say why I was yelling at you.
We
don't really need to discuss it. It's just that, you know, suffice it to say, this person who is having trouble, he's having a number of things go around here. And essentially what he's doing is that, well, essentially he did what he had to do, and now he's getting the consequences for it. But, in any case, we'll go ahead and, you know, he'll go ahead and figure out how much he wants to go ahead and talk about later on. This is sort of elliptical conversation. I was annoyed about is that you made the assumption that he should have done what you thought he should have done, and essentially him and me and a number of other people disagree with you, Russ. We think you're sort of naive about how evil Zog is. Okay?
You don't think I haven't had my share in the barrel?
Well, I think you had your share in the barrel. The trouble of it is whether or not we think you've learned something from it. Sometimes we don't think you have.
Let's let that whole thing go by. We don't need to discuss
it. Okay, well, you're going to go ahead and accept my apology, I assume, correct?
No problem.
Okay.
I wouldn't be here otherwise. In any event, whenever anyone stands up for right in this world, and I don't care what it is, there's mm-hmm. always a consequence, because Satan rules the world through his children, and government mm-hmm. is one of his main instruments of putting his doctrine across. So anytime you stand up for right, there's going to be a hammering back. There's no free ride in this world.
No, you're right.
I mean, the reason we have so much evil in this world is so many people are always saying, well, I'm only doing my job. These idiots in this doing my job crap, all questions of morality never take place. And the trouble is, when anyone does stand up on principle, it's the one nail of 10,000 and won't go down, and they have a very, very difficult time with it. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, people wouldn't go to Mass. They didn't hurt anybody, didn't burn anybody's house, didn't kill anyone, they just wouldn't go to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a four quarter and everything else. Of course it didn't work.
Well, they call them heretics, they call them a number of things. Nowadays, I was looking at 60 Minutes, and essentially what happens is that one, you know, Archbishop went ahead and blew the whistle on what was going on in Ireland. And essentially the consequence is that, for what I gather, for the first time ever since, what, the 5th century, since the 5th century, essentially, you know, the church in Rome wouldn't receive these Irish Catholics, because essentially the church in Rome wanted to go ahead and cover up that these pedophile priests were molesting all these Irish children. And pretty well, in Ireland, they used to have a surplusage of priests here, you know, 120 of them. Now, what happens, they had an ordination 2 years ago, two ordinations 2 years ago, none last year, one this year. And essentially, you know, they say that in some of their Irish parishes, it's gone down from 90% attendance, I mean, of all the Irish, down to, in some cases, 2%. And folks, you can go ahead and try to control something. It's just that people, sooner or later, decide, why bother? Why even mess with it? Why even go ahead and talk to somebody who, for whatever you do, let's say you cheat on your taxes or you're diddling the barmaid or something like that, well, you're probably going ahead and confessing your sins to somebody who's diddling a lot more than the barmaid, and he ain't supposed to be diddling at all. You know what I mean?
Hey, let me discuss Limbaugh.
Sure, let's go ahead and discuss Limbaugh. Old Flesher, and I'm no friend of Flesh Rimblow, as I call him. But essentially, here is this Mamzerus left-wing activist who's claiming that she needs what? $300?
Let me start the conversation off.
Sure.
This guy Limbaugh has been on the air for about 10 years, approximately.
No, he's been on for 20 years.
Okay.
More than 20 years.
20 years. He's on 5 days a week, 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he says a lot of things. And in 20 years, he's discussed almost everything, and I guess because he called her a slut, which he is.
Yeah.
But apparently she's not a prostitute, but he was persecuted for telling the truth.
Well, pretty well, just like Buchanan and, you know, him. Essentially, if you're a left-wing homophobe and all this sort of thing, you're in trouble. You're facing Christian, you know, your criminal charges. And,
what did Orwell say? Telling the truth in these times is
here she, yeah, it's, you know, it's an act of defiance.
It's a revolutionary act?
It's a revolutionary act. That's what Orwell said.
And this is what we see taking place here. It's very simple. And I don't like Lindbergh. You know, he's one of these bomb Iraq type characters. He's a goddamn Jew. He's a
kosher con. He, you know, his fourth or fifth wife was a kikas. He went ahead. He's a big fat lying piece of shit retard from essentially Cape Girardeau. He comes from a family of lawyers. There's this piece of shit named Stephen Limbaugh, who's his first cousin. His uncle, you know, his uncle, his father, and his grandfather were lawyers as well. And essentially, his daddy was on the St. Louis federal bench. His cousin Stephen Limbaugh was on the Missouri Supreme Court. He was a total piece of law and order shit here. But essentially, if you're rich, Republican, had plenty of money, you get to do whatever the hell you want to do. I mean, essentially, and now his first cousin Stephen Limbaugh is on the federal bench. You know, in St. Louis, and essentially this, you know, this piece of shit goes ahead, always rules, just like he did on the Missouri Supreme Court bar bench, goes ahead and rules in favor of the government, against people. I mean, essentially that's exactly what, you know, this critter does now at the federal level. And essentially, you know, him and, you know, I mean, he's just a country club fat Republican who's going ahead and playing, being edgy. He has a nigger call screener. I mean, essentially, you can't go ahead and get on unless he knows exactly what you're going to say.
Well,
and if you say something they don't like, he's going to cut you off. But essentially, here was the, essentially, the sort of the Anita Hill to the Clarence Thomas. They're talking about doing the same thing with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. Here is this left-wing, you know, mamzerous bitch, you know, law student. And essentially, she's claiming that cost her, she can't afford to go to Georgetown Law School, where it costs, what, $30,000 a semester, and she's having to choose between going to school and paying $300 for contraception. Well, folks, this one guy points out is that if you go to college, essentially, you don't have to pay for rubbers at all. There's a big old fishbowl of them. Grab a handful here. But even so...
What can they be in anyway? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, shoot, if an average condom costs 50 cents a piece here, essentially she's caught saying that birth control costs $300 a month. Essentially, she's talking about how, well, essentially, she can barely afford to go ahead and screw for essentially 600 times per month or what? Oh, 20 times per day?
Well, shoot.
I mean, if you're charging $20 a trick and making the customer bring his own condom here, essentially, well, you could be a successful prostitute. You know what I mean?
You know, who the hell knows?
But no, she ain't a successful prostitute. She's a lying whore, is what she is. You know what I mean?
In any event, what these advertisers are doing, they're doing the same thing to him that he tries to do others. They're trying to censor him by not advertising anymore. It says he doesn't represent their values. Shit, they have got no values.
No guy values. And what happens
they
is
have no values.
One of the Fox News retards has pointed out that some of these companies that have gone ahead and quit, like Corbamite and these other people, their CEOs essentially give to the same, you know, move on organizations as George Soros does. So essentially they were just with Limbaugh because essentially they want him to plug their product. I don't see why Limbaugh just simply doesn't say, screw AOL. Screw AOL. Because essentially AOL, why would you buy Agent Online? You know, I mean, what's wrong with just your local, you know, ISP or your local cable company? What do you need AOL for?
I don't know.
AOL. Screw Corbamite. I mean, hey, if you don't need Corbamite, you can go ahead and, you know, get, you know, Norton's, Norton's online, you know, savings here. You know, they'll probably do as good a job as Corbin might will.
What kind of company is Corbin? What do they make or do?
What they do is their online data protection.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Essentially, all the stuff that old Flusher is advertising is shit you don't really need anyway. You know what I mean? The only reason they're advertising it there, I mean, hey, or this one mattress company went ahead and kicked them out. Well, hey, you can go ahead and get with Serta.
Is that there's this one job site, or I'm sorry, website where for guys who want to pay off women $10,000 to $20,000 a month, 50-year-old guys want 20-year-old women, and it'll keep them on the hook for $10,000 to $20,000 a month. I can't remember the name of the website, but it's unbelievable. I never knew such things existed. And another one came up today, AshleyMadison.com. Apparently, this is a website for people who want to have extramarital affairs.
Well, there's, you know, what happens is that, you know, heck, you go ahead, and there's one browser here. I think it's, you know, on one of the browsers here, Internet Explorer. I don't know how to go ahead and shut off the pop-up ads. So if you're going ahead and using Internet Explorer, you know, on, you know, what happens is that recently I get on YouTube. I was getting on YouTube. Logan was on. I said, well, on this last one, I'll go ahead and get old AC/DC. I'm on the Highway to Hell. And what happens is that you click this thing, and essentially what it was an ad on YouTube for find your local fuck buddy. You know what I mean? Essentially, you can find you some skanks here who want to go ahead and suck your dick tonight here. And essentially, here it is being advertised on freaking YouTube. Well, what happens is I clicked it once, so I sort of made a mistake. But, you know, of all the things here, I remember back in the Nut House when I was at Gulman at the Medium Security, and I was doing law library, and supposedly they're to watch you there to make sure you don't go, you know, the niggers don't go ahead and look at porn sites. Well, shoot, what happens, they didn't have the pop-up ads disabled, and shoot, you end up having these pop-up ads for, you know, essentially X-rated and porno sites. You know what I mean? So what happens is that YouTube, I was looking at YouTube, and essentially I made the mistake of clicking on it, didn't essentially see this video, and essentially I thought it was just a little music video or something here, had a rather cute white girl, and I clicked it, and essentially it was essentially for, you know, find you a fuck buddy, you know what I mean? You know,
well,
and I didn't click that ad anymore, but essentially, here it is on YouTube of all things here. I mean, essentially, Google is going ahead and selling ads, you know, because YouTube's owned by, you know, by Google. Essentially, Google is going ahead and selling ads for essentially, well, for fornication adultery purposes, you know what I mean?
Well, Martin, I didn't know about this stuff till yesterday, but it just amazes me the crap that's out there. So the people's minds. Do you have any idea that the syphilis and everything else is going to go rampant? I mean,
if that skank has to go ahead and screw what? I mean, 600 times a month. That's 20. That's what? 20 times a day here, with only one day out of the month here, and maybe less than that to go ahead and rest up here from whoring. So essentially, at 50 cents a condom here, well, maybe she can make her own customers come in. But essentially, you know, essentially she ain't really a professional working girl or prostitute. Actually, she's just a skank. You're a slut. And essentially called her a slut. You know, well, you went ahead and asked, you know, if she should be called that. Well, essentially, here she is. She wants the taxpayers to pay for her birth control. Even if normally, from what I gather, they say that the pills at Walmart, you know, the cycle of what they're supposed to take, essentially is $9 a month at Walmart or some of the major things here. So essentially she's overpricing how much, you know, it would take for her to screw. And essentially here she is, a lying feminist skank who went ahead and demanded that some right-wing speaker at this here university, I think she went to Cornell or whatever, that he be censored. Essentially this bitch doesn't believe in freedom of speech either. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm well aware of the nonsense. It is just unbelievable. I mean, it just blew my mind. I guess I am naive about this stuff.
I mean, you know, I sort of, I, you know, I didn't used to think. I mean, I sort of expected some little edgy site, but I didn't sort of expect to go ahead and see Find Your Local Fuck Buddy here, you know, on YouTube. You know what I mean? I mean, what happens is that usually that's, you know, what I go ahead and I use Internet Explorer for is downloading audio files. It's the best thing for going ahead for using to go ahead and download audio files. I mean, right click, I have a problem with that in Firefox and Google Chrome. I usually use Google Chrome to go ahead and do most of my searching. I use Firefox to go ahead and keep up the windows I want up the next time I put it up. And I use Internet Explorer for downloading them. And essentially, I was going ahead and downloading for engineering, you know, the Movement Turd 112, you know, and getting these AC/DC videos. Or essentially, you know, you find the videos on YouTube. And what happens is that you go ahead and open up YouTube, and here is, you know, it doesn't even show a naked, you know, half-naked woman or something like, you know, grow your organ out, you know, 2 inches. I mean, it wasn't an overtly porn site. It was just that you must see this video. So I went ahead and looked at it like a pretty girl. I went ahead and clicked it, and I went to, you know, I forget what the name was, but essentially it was Find You a Fuck Buddy here. You know what I mean? And, well, okay, but, you know, what gets me is that here it was, I mean, this was being advertised on YouTube, you know what I mean? So, that's why I found it a little bit surprising, okay?
Well, but anyway, this other website has all these girls on there.
Yeah.
Between 10 and 20,000 a month. Can you imagine how can someone have that much money?
Well, they were bitching about Craigslist here having, you know, having adult sites here. And essentially, they used to call them Craigslist skanks here. You know what I mean? But in any case, but then again, Russ, I mean, from what I gather, they said that all the internet, all broadband and all the flash here, I mean, essentially, there have been two things. You know, I mean, video and the rest here. I mean, essentially, someone like me, I, you know, most of my work here, most of my political and religious work essentially involves around writing blocks of text here. Text don't take hardly any bandwidth. I mean, you can go ahead and get all the email you want, you know, out of dial-up here. I mean, essentially, it was the video and the processing speed and was gaming, you know, internet gaming and, you know, and porn. You know, porn is what really made the internet. You know what I mean? What it is today.
I have no idea, Martin.
Well, I mean, I was surprised when I got out of the nut house and essentially old Emily had gone ahead and screwed up all my, my AMD 450, which was a Pentium 2, you know, and essentially running Windows ME. I mean, when I got out of there here, Emily had gone ahead and bought a virus or something like that. Some of these computers were what? Oh, about 10, 12 years old, but they ran Windows ME just fine. And what happens is that for computer stuff, the Windows ME I thought was the best. Essentially, it was the equivalent of Windows 98, you know, Service Pack 3 is what Windows ME was.
Well, think about that stuff.
Well, what happens is here I go and I buy my Toshiba number one and it has Vista. And what I'm impressed is that here they come up, you know, the month I got thrown in jail was the month that YouTube went ahead and premiered in 2005. And essentially what happens is that nowadays it's like watching, essentially it's sort of like having a TV as opposed to having a computer. You know, people are not really using computers to scan in stuff. They're not using stuff to go ahead and WordPress. They're not using, like I am, to go ahead and create a radio show. I mean, essentially what they're using it for is, well, essentially watching TV is mainly what it's about here. And I bought an Amazon Kindle, and what I do is I watch old Star Trek Voyager series. That was the one I liked the best of the lot here. I'll admit that the essentially sometimes you can go ahead and have too much of the Starship Enterprise here. And the original series was just filled with Jews. William Shatner and old Leonard Nimoy were kikes here. But in any case, what happens is that you can go ahead and watch old movies on your Amazon. On your Amazon Kindle here. If you hold it 4 inches in front of your nose, it's like watching a big old, if you hold it 4 inches in front of your nose, it's like watching it on a big screen here. You know what I mean?
I'm way the hell behind the times.
Yeah, I know.
Let me make another comment here. The news, the television, coming like South African TV, it's filled with muds. Totally disproportionate number of niggers and chinks, brown skin, confusion of face, good for nothing characters. It's unbelievable. The ramming down of of muds on the white society is unbelievable today.
Well, yeah.
And as Richard Namela said, and he's right, when the House of Israel got into all the race mixing, Yahweh brought the Assyrian Messiah.
Well, Rich Namela is a Jew. Do you know that?
Well, yeah, I heard you say that. I don't know what the hell he is. You know what I mean? But
okay.
I mean, I try to separate. What he said was true. Yahweh will fix up the damn problem, and people won't like what he has in mind. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, for a while, old Rick Namela, him and Andy Anderson, Clint Downey, tried to go ahead and get me kicked off my cable, off my cable connection. Pretty well after I found out Clint Downey used to be a sexual mascot and brought that up. And essentially, it wasn't until, I made a counter complaint to Earthlink against Nimoy that pretty well they said is that if you keep on making complaints trying to get somebody else kicked off, essentially we're just going to go ahead and terminate your account. And that's what made Rick Nimoy, quit here. But, essentially what happens, old Debbie Downey knew dang well he was a Jew, and essentially, Nimoy and Andy Anderson went ahead and screwed her, and she was whining, "Well, I knew about people like, people told me about people like you, and I didn't believe them," and she was whining about that. Nimoy's a finished Jew. You know what I mean? But, he hates dual seed line, and I remember way back in 2000, 2001, me and this guy named Hengist, would go ahead, and he'd say, "Well, the dual seed line Christian identity comes from the Talmud. The Talmud says that, that Cain is the son of Satan." So we'd go ahead and say, "Okay, Nimoy, you Talmudic screwer, tell us where in the Talmud that admits that you Jews are the spawn of Satan." And what happens is that
it's what the Talmud says.
Hmm?
Just because the Talmud says something doesn't mean something is true or false.
Well, yes, but here he was saying that dual seed line Christian identity was false because the Talmud sort of hints. Well, and what happens is that, yes, the Talmud does in certain places sort of claim, Albert Pike in his Missions and Morals or something like that, one of the three big books of the Masonry, it goes ahead and sort of admits that, when you're level 33, the big secret is that you serve Lucifer, you know what I mean, which is Satan, you know what I mean, huh?
In the 33rd degree, they worship Lucifer. That's right.
Well, that's what they give. That's the big secret at the 33 degree. What happens if you're just a low level doofus here at the first or zero level or one level or two level or maybe even three level, which is the masses of just wiggers running around? Essentially, you're not reading the legends and morals or whatever here. You're not reading the big book here.
Morals and dogma.
No, what do they call it? Something dogma?
Something dogma, yeah.
Morals and dogma, something like that here. Essentially, I had this character at the Nut House. I call him Biker Bob. Biker Bob essentially was a criminal who, he liked killing people for money and sometimes for fun. And he liked selling meth. He'd hang around the Hells Angels and stuff, and he knew some Christian identity people because there's some Christian identity people who, we don't have a problem with bikers, smoking meth and killing pigs and niggers and stuff. So anyway, we were sort of on friendly terms here, but essentially he went ahead and let me look at that little part where essentially Albert Pike went ahead and essentially admitted that the essence of Mormonism was serving Lucifer. You know what I mean? So, I mean, pretty well the Talmud sort of suggests the same thing, is that Jews are descended from Cain, who in turn was descended from Lucifer. It doesn't say Jews are descended from, you know, are the spawn of Satan, but, you know, when you're really looking at the Talmud, you're supposed to know this stuff. Your average Jew does not go ahead and actually, you know, bother, you know, reading the Talmud. He's just a kike who goes ahead and screws people because he's an evil Jew here.
What the hell do we care? Whatever the Talmud says, it says. It doesn't prove or disprove anything as far as I'm concerned. But anyway.
Well, in any case, I mean, I was sort of, you know, I sort of thought it was hilarious. I was looking at Wigger Liver last night here, and this little Alabama faggot went ahead and got these idiots, even though they'd won tribal immunity, they got them to go, for the first time ever, to tribal council, even though they won immunity, you know, the girlies hadn't. And essentially, what he did is that he booted off the nigger. You know what I mean? He booted off the stand-up, you know, comic Rastafarian, this little Alabama faggot, went ahead and booted off the nigger. So I don't know what the hell to say. I mean, I don't much care for faggots, but on the other hand, he booted off the nigger. You know what I mean? Do you see, I care. I mean, hell, I love it when niggers and faggots go ahead and fight, just like I love it when niggers and pigs fight here. I mean, you had a wigger faggot going ahead and kicking off a New York City nigger. I thought it was hilarious here. Okay, I guess that's me, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What? Would you really be upset here if faggots and niggers go after it and kill one another or kick each other out of the game or whatever?
Any rate, I've said what I wanted to say tonight, so let me take off. Let someone else get on here.
Okay, well, thanks, Russ, for calling in. And essentially, what we did, you know, essentially all this stuff about Rush Limbaugh, essentially what boils down to is that essentially they're saying they ought to criminalize. Essentially, the left wants to criminalize, you know, how dare you go ahead and say something against a woman? How dare you go ahead and indirectly say something against a nigger? How dare you indirectly say something against a faggot? Essentially, what it boils down to is that even a big...
$80-90 million. He's not going to go. He's not going to go hungry tomorrow. You know?
No, he's not going to go hungry. I mean, essentially, if he wanted to, he could pull what a Mel Gibson ought have pulled and simply said, "Fuck you." You know what I mean? But he's not going to. I mean, essentially, he's a Zionist, kosher conservative from the right wing, and essentially, he's not going to go anywhere. I mean, he's a big fat fart in the 60s here, you know, just a big fat, you know. I mean, with all that millions of dollars, he could go ahead and go to Thailand and fuck little Thailand prostitutes here and get all the oxycodone here. That big fat fart could go ahead and gulp down here, you know what I mean, and die of a heart attack. I mean, that would be okay in my book. But essentially what happens is the left wing doesn't believe, and essentially you're having a fight between the left, so-called left wing, you know, the Whigger left wing and the nigger left wing against the Whigger right wing, and essentially they're demanding that old Flusher be censored. You know what I mean? That's what they're demanding. I mean, essentially, there's nothing illegal about calling some stupid skank who essentially is whining and lying about how it costs her $30 a month for contraception and how she can't afford $30,000 a semester as a left-wing activist who went ahead and censored other people, you know, as an undergrad.
Look, he's going to wait the damn thing out and screw all his announcers. That's all.
Well, he's not going to go ahead and be a big. He's not going to be as total a big a pussy as Don Imus was. Remember when old Don Imus was yapping about nappy-headed hoes? You know what I mean? I was in Nuthouse at the time and boo-hoo.
I don't like Don Imus and why he made that stupid statement. I mean, these girls are just playing back.
I think you had a little Jew boy. He was egging him on, from what I gather, you know, to go ahead and be a little bit more outrageous. He was yapping about nappy-headed hoes. Well, I mean, hey, the nappy-headed hoes here weren't doing so bad. I mean, from what I gather, they were at the top of their division or something here. You know what I mean? I mean, when you're watching, you know, female basketball, I mean, what do you have other than, well, water buffaloes and nappy-headed hoes?
Call them that,
you know what I mean?
If you wanted to, which is the truth, but when he called, There was no reason to do so. There was no, they didn't do anything.
Well, they probably weren't selling, they probably weren't selling anything. I mean, I was reading the crime statistics, and Greg Johnson was saying that there's 30,000 rapes of niggers upon white women, and what happens, there's a figure of less than 10 white rapes on nigger women. Well, folks, what if that figure of less than 10 is zero? How, you know, I mean, it's sort of hard to maintain an erection.
I'm going to take off, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, all right. Bye-bye, Russ. Anyway, I was going to go ahead and say it's so hard to maintain an erection here when you're thinking of humping a monkey here. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it quits here, and we'll go ahead and wait for the next, next installment of Moving Turd, folks. Hail victory.
The Ballad of Irving.
He was short and fat and rode out of the west with a Mogan David on his silver vest. He was mean and nasty right clear through, which was kind of weird because he was yellow too. They called him Irving. Big Irving. Big Short Irving. Big Short Fat Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the west. He came from the old bar mitzvah spread with a 10-gallon yarmulke on his head. He always followed his mother's wishes. Even on the range, he used two sets of dishes. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Sissy Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Irving. 141 could draw faster than he, but Irving was looking for 143. Walked in a Saul saloon like a man insane and ordered three fingers of 2 cents plain. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Sport Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. One day, Bad Max happened in the town. His aim was to shoot Fat Irving down. Bad Max said, draw and draw right now. And Irving drew a picture of a cow. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Gunfighter Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. The James boys was coming on a train of first son, and the town said, Irving, we need your gun. When that train pulled in at the break of dawn, Irving's gun was there, but Irving was gone. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Help Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Well, finally, Irving got three slugs in the belly. It was right outside the Frontier Deli. He was sitting there twirling his gun around, and Butterfingers Irving gunned himself down. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Dum Dum Irving. Big Dum Dum Dead Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West.
Really?
Hello.
Well, I see Russ hung up.
Yeah, he hung up here. I'm glad you went ahead and called here, Logan.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty wild look at the chat here and sort of laughing. By the way, guest number 16 is an ass clown, okay?
Yeah,
but then again, he's a tard. He's a tard, but just remember, tards make the turd roar, okay?
Yeah.
You know, is Tom Metzger a Zogbot? The answer is no. What happens is that Metzger actually does believe what he's preaching. It's just that some of what he preaches is, I think, sort of ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, by the way, Flesh Rimblow is not a Jew. He's a fat piece of shit, Whigger Republican from Cape Girardeau.
Well, hold on. Everybody in identity told me that he had Jewish ancestry, Rush Limbaugh.
I don't think he does at all, but what happens is his third or fourth wife here that he met on CompuServe or whatever was a Jewess.
Are you sure? Because his nose looks Jewish, and Limbaugh might sound kind of like a Jew, but a bunch of people, I mean, he claims to be a Christian, but a bunch of people told me that...
No, he's from Missouri. He's from Cape Girardeau. Essentially, all his working piece of shit, family are lawyers. What happens, they've always been lawyers, first in the Missouri bar system, then they get to federal court. This Stephen Limbaugh was an evil piece of shit who essentially, I remember way back, it was what, back in 1996?
Yeah.
There's this sheriff pig who's dicking with this, Whigger over, well, sort of like this shit, like this bitch down in Fortune's messing with me. And essentially, the guy goes ahead and he flips out, and he wounds the sheriff, doesn't kill that piece of shit sheriff. He goes ahead, he kills the sheriff's wife, he goes ahead, kills the deputy's wife, goes ahead, he goes on a rampage hunting pigs, and he goes ahead and shoots a bunch of them, kills a bunch of them. And then it goes ahead and goes to the Missouri Supreme Court for his trial. And of course, he gets found guilty of killing pigs and, the dependents of pigs. And of the nine who are on the Missouri Supreme Court bench here, the only one who had any decency for poor Whigger was essentially, flipped out Whigger, was this nigger named Ronnie White. And essentially, old John Ashcroft didn't like the nigger Ronnie White, and essentially he sort of shit on Ronnie White and didn't want him to be reselected, In Missouri, they have, quote, the Missouri plan, to where you essentially choose three candidates. You don't elect your judiciary. You go ahead and choose them. And essentially, the Bar Association chooses these three clowns, and supposedly the governor got to pick one of them. And then every 6 years, what happens, you vote whether or not to retain them. And essentially, the nigger got the lowest retention, figure. He only had about 65, 66, thanks to old John Ashcroft. And then when John Ashcroft wanted to be Attorney General after he lost the election to Witter Minstrel Show Mel Carnahan, what happens is that here was old Ronnie White going ahead and saying that old John Ashcroft was racist. Well, yeah, he is a racist, piece of shit. But on the other hand, he's an anti-Whigger piece. John Ashcroft, here in Missouri, it ain't so much the Jews that go ahead and run things directly. What they do is they have, race traitor Whiggers who go ahead and run things for them and give the Jews whatever the hell they want to. You know what I mean? Sort of like Bush and, essentially in Missouri you have the Blunt family. And essentially what they are is they're just amoral, thieving pieces of shit. Just like old Runt Blunt. He is such an amoral, thieving piece of shit. He screwed shit up so bad that essentially even his own party told him that, okay, you've had one term, Runt Blunt. It's time to move on. You know what I mean? And, that's part of the reason, I had all this shit, happen against me here. Let me see. Tuesday, I go ahead, I take Roxy to the doctor, and I stop by to go ahead and do something here. And here is this bitch who went ahead and sided with, taking away the kids of some other pastor here. Essentially, she used to be a state rep here. And she went ahead and voted for 1-800-I-AM-A-RAT. Go ahead and call people in to take away kids or something like that. I heard Rush Limbaugh or Axel Sally say, well, it used to be that you couldn't take your kids for anything. Bullshit. For the past, 100 years or so, they've been going ahead and buying and selling poor white children, taking them away from their families to go ahead and buy and sell. It's gotten especially bad over the past 50 years and then 20 years. And essentially, that's what they do. They go ahead and take children away from these stupid wigger sluts like Emily. And, folks, you know, as I look at it, if you go ahead and you work, if you're a social worker, as far as I'm concerned, you and your entire family need to die. I mean, there's no excuse for...
Okay, they're serving the abuse system. And
yeah.
There's a lot of pedophiles in that system that prey on these children that get taken from their parents.
Well, that's the way it was in the Oregon State, you know, thing here. Essentially, they were in a pedophile ring. They were buying and selling, you know, stealing white children and going ahead and buy, you know, and selling them to perverts. And that's what Harold Covington's going ahead and saying in his It Takes a Village or something like that. Folks, Harold Covington isn't making this shit up. This is what is actually happening all across the Zogland. And
shit's been happening for 8,000 years with Satan and his kids.
Well, it's been happening. I mean, essentially, that's what it's designed to do, is to destroy the white race here. But here in this country, you know, here in this country...
Hey, the Jews don't change their rule books.
No, they don't change their rule books. They don't change... I mean, Genesis 3:15 doesn't change. You know what I mean?
I mean, they've been doing the same shit for 7,500 years, and the thing is, the white race, it comes in cycles. A few whites will wake up, and the rest of the stupid honkies won't wake up, the stupid wiggers. And so then the people that do wake up, they get ostracized and persecuted and killed or destroyed or whatever.
Well, in the case of Noah, I bet he was pretty well, you know, pretty well just viewed as a nut, a lunatic. Well, what do you mean we ought to go ahead and interbreed with these native chicks? What do you mean we ought to go ahead and, you know, sell our beautiful Adamic daughters here, you know, to the local fallen, you know, demons? What do you mean we ought to go ahead and race mix and, essentially go ahead now that we're suffering from Peter Duncan, run wild and kill one another? What do you mean, Noah? You know, I mean, hey, this is the most wonderful Zog Babylon on earth here. I mean, you know, heck, what do you suggest? That we go ahead and live in caves like we do, you know, like some of them do in Europe? What do you suggest? That we go ahead and obey Cain Sargon? I mean, essentially, what Flesh Rimblow and the rest of these clowns are saying was essentially the same thing. It's just without electronic amplification. Back, what, 5,000 some years ago, when essentially here's Noah, you know, he's the equivalent, you know, he lived to be, what, 950 years old? So when he was 480, if you go ahead and knock off a zero, you know, so when he was the equivalent of 48, he was told to go ahead and build an ark, and that the ark occurred probably about, a couple days after his 60th birthday. And it lasted for about, 2-3 months here, and essentially it went in and drowned these people out. Essentially, just like in Noah's day, the playbook is the same. You have Whiggers who go ahead and they sell out. They go ahead and, you know, they go ahead and they side with all this sort of thing here. And essentially, with this Flesh Rimblow and the rest of it, all it is just censorship. The Jews are whining. The Jews and the Mamzers and, you know, and the liberals and the faggots are whining.
Okay, this is the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that liberal suck is the, she's the liberal Jew and Rush Limbaugh is the conservative Jew. So one of them plays the good Jew, bad Jew, but they're both Jews. It's kind of like thinking.
Okay, well, I don't think Limbaugh is a Jew, although he is a Jew. He's a Jew by penetration. His third or fourth wife was a kikith.
Well,
and from what I gather, some people said
in the chat room say they have proof that he has Jewish blood in him. So I don't know.
Well, Esther Kike Stanky on his hang down, in any case, so heck, you know, essentially, for all practical purposes, he might as well be a G, even if he's not. I don't think he is. Because I live in Missouri, and I see these thieving piece of shit wiggers on the bench, you know, be it the Missouri Supreme Court, be it now, Stephen Limbaugh, he went to the federal court and took the place of his daddy. You know what I mean? The Limbaughs have been the fat, you know, country club lawyers who are going ahead and selling and screwing people, you know, since, well, dog knows when. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well.
So, for all practical purposes, you might as well be a kike. You know what I mean? You know, from what I gather, there are some people who said that he essentially was sitting in a yarmulke and essentially converted to Judaism here, you know, in order to go ahead, and that's what his little Esther Kikas, fourth wife or whatever here. Old Flush here, Old Flush got to have these little small, you know, Jew women or, you know, Wigger women to go ahead and, you know, press down on him like a big old fat, you know, pig here. And from my gut, he don't even have any spawn of his own here, so he might be a gelding for all we know. Okay?
He don't have any kids. He don't have no kids. Yeah, but he's got millions of dollars, though. He makes about $400 million a year.
Well, he makes quite a bit here. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what. He doesn't really act like a white man. To me, he kind of looks like a Jew, but if you think he's white, I mean, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I'm trying to figure out whether or not I've lost.
I'll tell you what. He's either a Wigger white race trader, a Mongol, or a Jew. He could be a Mongol, or not Jew, or whatever, but he certainly is not. I mean, even though he pretends to be conservative, he's all about his own wallet. You know?
Yeah, he's only for conserving his own wallet.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he don't care about saving the white race. You know what I mean?
Well, hell no. Hell, if you even went ahead and even accused him, he'd accuse you of being a racist.
Yeah. I mean, Pat Buchanan is more of a racist than Rush Limbaugh.
Well, don't get me started on Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan denounced me for racism in 2000.
No, Pat Buchanan is basically...
He's just another sack poop, you know what I mean?
He sold out. I mean, he said some of the right things, but then he sold out. Just like David Duke. David Duke has a lot of stuff going for him. But he's sitting on the fence, and he definitely...
He's a crook. He's a criminal. What happens is that...
Come into the two-seed line message.
Oh, he hates the two-seed line message.
He would lose all support.
He's not going to follow two-line seat, you know, not only because he doesn't have support, it's because he doesn't like it. He has that bitch Clint Downey running around, you know, essentially her and, you know, I mean, essentially, you have Finkelstein and... Clint's little meerkat going ahead and, you know, playing suck up, because essentially they're both kicked out of Christian Identity for all practical purposes. All you end up having with Eli James and the rest of these critters is just simply Jews pretend to be Christian Identity. My point is that essentially, I was looking at Dan John's show last night, and essentially he muted any possible guests. He has hardly anybody listening to him anymore. He had a son, Legal Man, 2012.
I used to be on his radio show, and then I got on the same network that he was on, and I had more. I mean, I didn't even advertise my show or nothing. I started out with more listeners than him, but he's never had that many listeners. As a matter of fact, when I was on his show one time, I don't think he had over 20 listeners. He might have had about 5 or 10.
Yeah.
It was a good night. So.
Well, I have about as many as what Eli James does here. And
yeah, I think Eli James probably has more listeners than Dan Johns. I don't know about.
No, he has more than Dan Johns. What happens is that Finkelstein has more of the ones who want to go ahead and pretend to be Christian Identity. I was looking at Covington's comment section. You have Oba Genderbender, and now you have old McFag. Go ahead and give them their 2 cents in. Old McFag wants Gretchen the librarian's email address. And I'm thinking of saying, no, Gretchen, no. Unless you're another Maui Patricia who will go ahead and make him work. You don't want that Tubal Kedak pinkish, you know, a hardcore unemployable on top of you. You know what I mean? But no. I mean, my point is that in this bowel movement, all these Zog false fronts here, who Zog has been propping up, I mean, essentially it's turning out that they're just a bunch of clowns, or just a bunch of retards, or a bunch of, you know, idiots, and that essentially there really isn't any overall movement leader that you can dare follow. And what you end up having is, you know, as a result of this Zog false front, these Zog bots, what you end up having, whether, you know, Zog likes it or not, is that you have what I call bowel movement decentralization, to where, essentially, I was talking to this guy who used to be in the militia.
Yeah.
You know, he used to have his own militia, and, you know, it was in Alabama. We were talking about Red Mike Vanderkuyke, You know, said she's sort of gloating because I'm hoping the bastard's going to croak off here. Red Mike Vanderbo, they're saying he has a 1-20 chance.
Floyd? Is this Jim Floyd? Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm not talking about Jim Floyd. Jim Floyd never ran a militia here, but some guy in Alabama. And what happens is that one of my Dick Weltney sock puppets got kicked off after 2 years from the mental militia, which is run by Claire the Jukal Wolf. I think she's a kikist myself here. And essentially what happens is that he was just shitting all over these tards, you know, saying that's okay to kill pigs. And essentially, one of my sock puppets got banned from the mental militia. So I had a big fight with old Claire the Jukal Wolf in the summer of 1998 and with all the professional libertoons, because essentially they want to pretend to be badasses. They want to pretend to be revolutionaries. But when it comes down to it, you know, just like with Mike Vanderkuyt, he's talking about civil war. He's talking about this or that here. But they don't want to seem to understand is that if you end up having a civil war and Zog gets overthrown, who's going to go ahead and make your rural rednecks get along with Jews and niggers? I mean, you know, right now you're just barely able to get along with Jews and niggers now, right?
Well, the whole point is the Great Tribulation, getting rid of all this trash. I'm going to tell you, all the white people I've seen, I told somebody this today, okay? All the white people around me, they're Jew lovers. Okay, they hate.
They're wiggers. They're wiggers. You know what I mean?
They want to go to hell with these kids. To hell with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to be around these wiggers. Okay?
That's right.
They love race mixing. They love to have all these other races. You know, I asked my stepdad. We went fishing the other day, and he knows I'm real racist and everything. I said, because he's always bashing me for my beliefs. I said, okay. I said, if you had the chance to go live in an all-white community or live in a melting pot like America, where would you want to live? He said, America. He said, that's what makes us great, because we have all these diversity and all these different races.
So is he living in the projects right now, or does he at least have enough freaking sense to know better than that shit?
He doesn't live in the projects, but he thinks it's great that we have all these different nationalities, all these different religions, all these different race mixing. I mean, he's your typical wigger, if he's even pure white. Okay, this is my mom's second husband, and I have my doubts because, I mean, he's one of these so-called white people that's kind of dark, okay? I mean, he might even have some serpent seed or some kind of mongrelization. I don't think he's pure white. But I tried to teach him. I showed him some Jim Wickstrom teaching video. Well, he walked in on me. I was watching a long time ago Sumerian Nation and Jim Wickstrom and stuff. And then he knows what I believe, and he doesn't really have anything to do with Yahweh. He makes fun of me for not eating pork, and he makes fun of, you know, makes fun of me for being real racial and wanting to be in an all white community. So he flat out told me.
But he don't live in the projects, does he? He don't live in the projects like he pretends to.
I'll tell you what, he don't live in the projects, but he was in the military, and he gets drunk and watches TV, and that's all he believes is everything on TV. He's just a coward. He's a coward that, hey, look, his brother's daughter in California, because that's where his brother lives, okay, she got knocked up by a speck, and then his brother drove down to Mexico and made sure that the deadbeat spick would marry his daughter, and that marriage didn't last but a couple of years. So they helped raise the little spicklet, and now the little spicklet's got grandchildren, and now his brother and his sister-in-law are raising the spicklet. So this is the kind of wigger trash that they allow their kids and grandkids to race mix, and they accept all these mongrels into their homes like their family, and they have no racial pride, no love for Yahweh, no love for the laws. They want to bitch and complain about crime, or there's no jobs, or there might be a few race problems here and there, but they'll never say it in public, okay? And so basically, these wiggers want to die like my stepdad, and you know what? They deserve everything they're going to. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be around these wiggers, and they can go to hell with Satan and his kids.
Okay. So what happens, your mother divorced your father, and...
Yes, supposedly she was screwing the Jew tennis pro like all the other rich white ladies, married white ladies. She was screwing the tennis pro, and he was a Jew. And then she starts screwing half the town, supposedly. And then my dad tried to get therapy to save the marriage, okay? And she said, well, she went half-heartedly, went a couple times to the therapist, and he was willing to forgive her. And she said, no, I don't want to stay in this marriage. You know, I'm happy fucking everybody in town. So basically, she forced my dad to get a divorce and everything. She got the house and custody and all that. I didn't find out about this shit until later on, okay?
How old were you when they divorced?
Huh?
How old were you when they divorced?
I was about 10 or 11 when all this shit was going. And my dad did not drag this out in court. He didn't tell me and my brother until after we got in college. And that's because my brother pushed it. He said, something's wrong. I don't believe my mom's side of the story. So he went to see my dad. And at first, I wasn't going to go, but I did. And once my dad told us, I knew he was telling the truth. And basically, both my parents are wiggers. My mom's a wigger slut. My dad, or she was a wigger slut. Now she's married probably to a Jew or some kind of mongrel piece of shit. That's wrong. She'd have been better off staying with my dad, okay? But, I mean, this is the kind of shit that happens, okay? So basically, I don't want to be around wiggers, Martin, okay? So if Yahweh wants to use all these mongrels and mugs to kill all the wiggers off, so be it. Okay? That's what they deserve. But, I mean, they want to say that everybody can be saved, even the Jew can pick virtual cotton, even the niggers and goose are going to be picking virtual cotton, and we're all going to be...
That's Eli James is, you know,
That's what all the wiggers believe, too. That's what all the wiggers want.
That's right.
Listen, they want, just like Don Henley and the Eagles, all four Jew devils, they want hell to freeze over, and they want Yahweh to croak over and die so that Satan can dress up as Elvis Presley, and we're all going to be in rock and roll heaven, and there's going to be race mixing, and all the niggers will be banging all the white girls, and, you know, supposedly diversity is going to be king, and it's going to be great. Now, this is what the wiggers want, because they're cowards. They're piece-of-shit cowards that, you know, they didn't stand up ever as a race, as a whole, for Yahweh and the laws and for racial purity and for segregation. There's always been, throughout history, there's always been a remnant of white people that stood up for either Yahweh's laws or the truth. Okay.
Just a remnant. Just a remnant. It's just like
the white race. Even some of the people, you know, they were wanting to bash Judah for married. Russell, all these people are wanting to bash Judah. You know, he married a Jew Canaanite whore, but he may not have known she was Canaanite. Okay, and they can't bash Tamar because Yahweh used Tamar to salvage the pure white line through the Judah line.
I'll talk to Pastor John Britt. See, Russ, he'll go ahead, and there will be, you know, he'll get on one of these kicks like Tamar was a whore. You know what I mean? And you'll end up having about 50, 60, 70 different emails. They don't change a dang thing, and they're nestled all over the place. And Russ was going, you know, he's going along with the pack here, and then he goes along with this Jew named Richard Niemela. You know, who hates dual seed line because he's a Jew. And, they'll go on, he'll go on and on and on and on. I was saying, well, you know, I said, look, Russ, I mean, you know, you don't go ahead and read about how Tamar was pretty well, you know, especially sought after like Rebecca was, you know, Isaac's first cousin, you know, in Mesopotamia. Several hundred miles away, and you don't go ahead and read about how essentially like Leah and Rachel were especially sought after, you know, being, you know, Jacob Israel's first cousins, you know what I mean? But on the other hand, Pastor John Britton said, well, the thing about it is that Tamar was probably a Mesopotamian first or second cousin of Judah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, let me see.
what I'm saying is, there's always been a remnant in the Old Testament that kept Yahweh's laws, but the majority of the white race all through the Old New Testament, all through the last 7,500 years of the white history, the majority of the white race has been Whiggers.
And this, well, yeah, you know, the vast majority of them have been Whiggers. That's why you had Zog Babylon the First. That's why you had the race mixing in those days. That's why you had the promise of race mixing, unless Yahweh had confounded their tongues and scattered them. You know, when you end up having...
Everybody in the Judah line was perfect, okay? They may not have been perfect in character, but they were perfect in their genes.
In bloodline. What happens is that...
Genealogy, they were perfect in their genealogy.
When I was in the jail...
When I was in the jail,
I went ahead and found out that essentially of Jesus' bloodline, it went around the kings of Judah right around the time that Ahab's sister got into that particular bloodline. You remember, wicked Queen Athaliah? What happens is that Jesus Christ wasn't descended from that bitch, even though she was white. You know what I mean? Yeshua's bloodline made a detour among the kings of Israel around that particular bloodline, if you go ahead and look at it. So, anyway.
What I'm saying is, all of Israel has Whiggers, even Judah. So,
well, I mean, Adam was somewhat of a Whigger.
Okay, if you look at the tribe of Benjamin... had a bunch of homosexuals that were trying to rape this old man in one of the other Israel tribes, and...
What they were is a bunch of homosexuals who were trying to rape this Levite who was passing through, and essentially they were...
That's what I'm talking about, but they were Benjamites, and so all the other tribes ganged up on them and damn near wiped out the tribe of Benjamin.
Well, what happened, the tribe of Benjamin refused to go ahead and... You go ahead and you read that there were these sons of Belial and there were these Gibeonites. They had something to do with it. Essentially, the Benjamites refused to go ahead and turn over these sinning Jews here who'd gone ahead and led a number of them astray. You know what I mean? You read that in Judges chapter, 19, I believe? And essentially, what happens, the tribe of Benjamin allowed these Jews and their own, Whiggers, who had gone ahead and got into homosexuality, allowed them to go ahead and run wild here, and they went ahead and killed the Levite's concubine, which was from the...
So it wasn't the Benjamites that were the homosexuals, because I thought it was.
Well, yes, they were homosexuals, but you go ahead and read that there was some Jews involved. There were these Gibeonites, who were supposed to be hewers of wood, who were supposed to be...
But some of the homosexuals were the tribe of Benjamin, right?
Yeah, some of them were homosexual. It occurred...
Okay, so then, because of this act, because they took the woman that he gave in his place to have sex with, and they just totally butchered that woman, so because of that, all the other damn tribes ganged up, and they about killed off all the men.
They demanded that the tribe of Benjamin go ahead and, punish the culprits. See, I get the feeling that the culprits were high up in the tribe of Benjamin, but you also go ahead and have these Gibeonites. And what these Gibeonites were is that they were Amorite Canaanites who were the blondest and blue-eyed of the Canaanites. You understand what I mean?
Okay.
I didn't find out that the Gibeonites were Amorites until for a while when I was reading about how Saul went ahead and he didn't like the Amorites. He didn't like the Amorites at all. He sort of blamed them for essentially his great grandfather's time going ahead and getting the tribe of Benjamin nearly butchered. So he went ahead and he went against the Amorites in order to go ahead and exterminate them from around the Israelites. See, they were a blonde, blue-eyed, light-colored people here. Some of them had big Jew noses, but some of them didn't. And essentially, what they did is they seen that these other tribes were being destroyed on the east bank of the Jordan. And what happens, they didn't want to be the next to be destroyed after Jericho. So what they did is they made peace. They went ahead and pretended to be from a long ways off here. And just like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 19, that if you go ahead and besiege a white Adamic city, they're not Israelites, but they're not Jews either. what you would do is you would go ahead and go up to there and essentially say, okay, surrender. If you don't surrender, if you surrender, you're going to be our slaves for a couple of generations. You're going to be our hewers of wood and drawers of water. But eventually, being white, they would interbreed in with the Israelites because they were Adamites, okay? But in the case of the Canaanites, you were supposed to go ahead and, you know, there was no peace to be made with them. They were just to be slaughtered out of hand, Now, if they went ahead and resisted, you would kill all the men and all the women who,
Okay, so these Benjamin, so the tribe of Benjamin refused to do the right thing.
Well, what happens is that you end up having this, demand for homosexual rape and the killing of the Ephraimite concubine of this Levite. And, essentially what happens is that there were some Jews, there were some of these Gibeonites who were involved in this here. Just like today, you have Jews going ahead and running these Whiggers like Rush Limbaugh. And essentially what happens is that the ruling Whiggers refuse to go ahead and take care of the faggot, Whiggers and the faggot Jews who had gone ahead and perpetuated this, atrocity. So as a result, you had an Israelite civil war, okay? And as a result, they destroyed men, women, children, of everybody, and the only ones who survived.
They killed off so many Benjaminites that...
There was only 600...
Some of the few remaining women had to go to the other 11 tribes and get them some husbands to repopulate the tribe of Benjamin.
Well, yes, that's what they did. And there was one town called Jabesh-Gilead, which did not send anybody there. And essentially, they had their entire men folks killed here and the women folks and the rest. See, the rule was, essentially, if you were fighting with whites here, they would be your slaves until they were bred into the house of Israel. And essentially, if they didn't make peace, you'd go ahead and kill the men. You'd kill the men, you'd kill the boys, you'd kill the women who had known men and just keep the virgins, okay? The girl virgins. Okay? And then what? A percentage of them were dedicated to the tribe of Levi. The rest of them were the spoils of other people here. And essentially that's how I believe that, I sort of believe that Adam wasn't the first white man, and that's how I believe is that, that's why there were so many people soon after, is that they went ahead and bred in with the Cro-Magnons, they bred in with the whites here, and thus became Adamites. Well, anyway, when you're fighting Adamites here, they're to be your slaves for the first couple of generations, and then, then what happens is that then you go ahead, you're allowed to breed with them. But in the case of the Canaanites, you didn't keep any little, baby Jewlets around, female carcasses or nothing. You killed everything. In fact, you killed their animals as well, because Cain had the reputation, and these Canaanites had the reputation for being the Monsanto of their days, and you had no idea what perversions they'd gone ahead and bred with their own animals' bloodline. You killed the animals, too, because they were hybrid animals as well. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, hey, listen, Russ still thinks that Richard Niemela is a white man that he's...
Yeah, well, hell, you can't go ahead. I mean, Niemela goes ahead and denies this crap, but you remember this Nathaniel Kaplan or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Russ Ver would still believe that he wasn't a Jew, unless Kaplan said, yes, I'm a Jew, both of my parents and 3 out of 4 of my grandparents are full-blooded Jews, and, the other one is still part Jew, and essentially admit he is a Jew. What happens, Niemela,
everything he puts out is bullshit.
It's hostile to dual seed line. I mean, I remember, 10, 12 years ago.
He's not identity.
He pretends to be identity. Him and Clint down here, little Meerkat and Maggie and Andy Anderson, back on the Holy Wars days, essentially they went ahead and kicked off me first and then the rest of the dual seed liners. And, I'm looking at this fluke, heifer. She's a mamsurus of some sort, what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, she's sort of brown, sort of like old Bongo, sort of a shit-colored look here. Anyway, getting on with it, what happens is that, you know, where was I? Essentially, Nimla used to go ahead and pull the same crap that Finkelstein, you know, claims I'm a Swedish Jew or something.
The one that says there's no devil. Does Richard Niemela say there's no devil?
Oh, yeah. Well, what he used to do way back in 2000, 2001, 2002, he used to say dual seedline Christianity is a bunch of crap because the Talmud goes ahead and says, you know, the Jews are the children of Satan. And therefore, since you took it from the Talmud, dual seedline Christianity is a bunch of crap. So me and Hengist would say, okay, Jew boy. Hengist called him Nematode. I called him Nematurd. You know, I call him Khazar Dick. I call him a bunch of names here. I said, okay, Khazar Dick. Where in the Bible, you Talmudic screwler? Where in the Talmud does it admit you Jews are the spawn of Satan? Tell us chapter and verse, Jew boy. And essentially, Nimla didn't know what to say because any way he responded, he'd be screwed. The Talmud does actually discreetly claim that Jews are descended from, well, essentially from Cain, who was descended from Lucifer. You know what I mean? Me and Russ were talking about that. Essentially, what happens is that after this bitch, Maggie got me kicked off my Granby internet connection here, she sort of ran off and claimed she hadn't done this, but she had done it, and I knew sort of who she was. I knew, you know, who's nuts to go ahead and, you know, put the pliers through.
Kentucky, right? Clint Downey?
No. Well, Clint lives in Kentucky. She used to live in Port Orchard.
He's an
Air Force Jew. He claims to be a fighter pilot. I said he was just a finance officer. Essentially, he retired as a lieutenant colonel, and I'm surprised, you know, that bastard must be, what, 83, 84, 85 years old here. He was running around 10, 11 years ago, and we, you know, me and Hengist used to fight with him all the time here. And essentially...
Hey, I first got his emails from Judy Nipp. She kept on sending me his shit. I said, who the hell is Richard Niemela? She goes, oh, he's a friend. I said, is he identity? She goes, no. I said, well, why the hell you...
No, he hangs around identity. He'd hang around the Holy War list server. He went ahead and tried to get me kicked off my internet connection, and pretty well I made a counterclaim to essentially against Andy Anderson and Nimla. And, Clint Downey, essentially what boiled down to is they told Nimla, if you keep on making bogus complaints, you know, trying to get him kicked off the internet, we're going to go ahead and terminate your Earthlink account. And essentially that's when the Jew boy backed off. What happens, old Clint Downey went ahead, and there was only about five people on Holy War listserver after they kicked all the rest of the dual seedliners off. You know, there was Andy Anderson, there was Clint Downey, there was Maggie Bellbitch Butts, there was Nimla, and there was Clint's little meerkat Mark, but he didn't respond too much. And essentially, what happens is that Nimla had a fight with Clint over something, and old Clint went ahead and whined, I always knew you people were, I always told you people would be like that. She knew Nimla was a Jew too. She whined like a wuss here, and essentially Nimla and Andy Anderson sided, you know, with each other, and essentially old Clint was all whiny about it here. This was in 2003. And essentially here I am, I'm pretty well spying, and so is everybody else who got kicked off. We're all spying, and we have our own little forum. It was called Christian_Nationalist, a Yahoo group. So it's still up. But we had one that's even more racist. We call it Zog's War. ZOGS_WAR. And essentially, this was in 2001, and we were predicting that there would be a war since old Bushy got elected. We were predicting that old Bushy would have a war with Iraq here as soon as he could possibly get away with it. And essentially, this was before there was a war with Iraq. But essentially, it was pretty racist. But they used to bitch here because, you know, I'd be spying on them, and a lot of times I'd go ahead and put the thing back over on Zog's War. Well, what happens, old Maggie got me kicked off, the day, September 10th, she went ahead and she made her bogus little complaint demanding I be kicked off the Grammy Telephone Company. And what happens, I stayed up all night, and I was going to go ahead and send the thing in. I sent the thing in. But you know what happened on September 11th of 2001? Nobody paid much attention to my counter complaint against Maggie Bell bitch butts here because they had a whole awful lot of other shit that was going on at the time. So what happens, I got kicked off for 6 months and I had to go over to Monette here and loan a computer out, and I had a Monette.com address over there, and about once a week I'd go over there and download my email and send up a few things here and spy on these people. And well, essentially, you know, because it was free, you know, at Monette.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happens, I got back 6 months, and, you know, what happens in March of 2002, they kicked off Hengist, and then what happens is that here comes Clint Downey, and Clint Downey didn't like Willie Martin. You know, I tried to get Willie Martin to quit, but Willie Martin wouldn't quit here. And I went ahead and told him a story about the prophet of Yahweh. He didn't listen to Yahweh. He got killed by the lion. And I said, if I was King Joash, I'd burn your bones, you know, because you didn't listen to Yahweh. You know, serves you right to go ahead and be set up by this lying Baal priest. So Willie Martin, he goes ahead and he gets off the Holy Wars list over for about a week, and then comes back on. Well, Martin, I got to go ahead and try to teach these people the truth. And I said, Willie, why are you trying to teach Dirty Lion Jews and Mamzers and, you know, Andy Anderson? Andy Anderson was a Whigger, but he was married to a Filipino. And he was in with Larry Blanchard. Larry Blanchard.
Not a Jew. Okay, he's not a Jew, but he's a race-mixing Jew lover.
Well, what happens, Larry Blanchard, he didn't start out as Christian identity. He started out as a Methodist. And what happens, his very first mission was to the Manila and Subic Bay bar girls. So essentially, what happens is old Andy Anderson, essentially was a, race mixer. You know, single seed line race mixer. You'd have Clint Downey, and you end up having Maggie Bell bitch butts. And essentially, what happens is that, well, this thing started as, you know, as a result of this guy, I think it was an FBI plant, and he invited me and Willie Martin, you know, in the summer of 1999. And the reason you had these fights with the, people are yapping about the fight between the millennialists, i.e. people like me, and the constitutional militias. And essentially what happens is that the death of the suburban constitutional militia movement is that so many of them were caught collaborating with the FBI, you know, and in the summer of 1999, they were running around because they were scared of Y2 chaos. And essentially, I got invited to this listserv so the FBI could pay attention to what, you know, to what I was doing and, you know, where I was, and they invited Willie Martin on there too. And essentially, when Y2 chaos turned out to be a bust in May of 2000, essentially, this guy who, nobody knew, you know, who he was, he lived south of Columbus, Ohio. You know, here comes Andy Anderson whining like a pussy that, you know, he doesn't like what John Knight is saying. He doesn't like what this Russian doofus is saying. He don't like what this Jew boy named Franklin Wayne Poley is saying. And he's not going to go ahead and be there no more, so he's going to leave. And the next day, he comes back, but now he's the moderator of the entire forum, all of a sudden without a vote. And essentially, all the skanks go ahead, you know, Maggie and all these other so-called right-wing skanks go ahead and vote for them to be censorshipped. So I have a fit about that, and then about a week later, why I get banned too. Although Andy went ahead and said it was accidental unsubscription syndrome. So I went ahead and formed a Yahoo group called Christian_Nationalist. You know, at yahoogroups.com, and that forum's still up. You can go ahead and read what was going on at the very end of May and in June of 2000 and the rest of it, and pretty well, I lost control of that account a long time ago, but it's still up. It's still up there if you want to go ahead and read what occurred, you know, in mid-2000 to about, what, 2000 and, 2005 when I got arrested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thing about it is that Nimoy was known as a Jew. Even Clint Downey knew he was a Jew. And she whined because he pretty well just bit her on the ass here. You know what I mean?
All the emails Judy sent me that was forwarded from Richard Nema, they're stupid crap. They don't have anything to do. I mean, basically, it doesn't have anything. I mean...
But Nimla is, he's in with Eli James here. Eli James knows that Nimla's a Jew, too.
I don't like him. Look, I can't stand to listen to Eli James for more than 5 minutes because he's this shitty Bible teacher. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Plus, he's putting out Jewish fables and disinformation. I mean, anybody that knows their scripture knows that Fink and Eli James and all these clowns are not CI teachers. Come on.
Well, I know that too here. Anyway, Hey, Logan, I want to go ahead and take a break this 45 minutes, but essentially, what happens when you end up having, you know, like Jeff Shoup, being a known, I mean, supposedly, well, last program I was talking about him being outed, he wasn't outed. People have known that he married, you know, Mamzer, who had a nigger daughter. You know what I mean?
Somebody in the National Socialist Movement knew about it, why did they allow him to be the...
Because what happens is that most of the critters in the National Socialist Movement are a bunch of Mamzer creatards. You know what I mean? And that's why they go ahead and they allow Satanists like Clifton Harrell in 2010. That's why they allow Eli James, a known Jew, to go ahead and associate with them. I mean, it's no big deal. That, you know, if you're a Mamzer, what difference does it make whether or not you're going ass to mouth with a Satanist and you're going ass to mouth with a Jew? The thing about it is, though, is that essentially the genuine element goes ahead and essentially finds out about this here, and essentially what they do is they get disgusted and they just say to hell with it. I mean, you don't listen to much of Eli James, do you?
I can't stand to listen to those both.
Okay, and you can't stand to listen much to Finkelstein either, can you?
No, but I'll...
And you don't much care for Dan Johns either, do you?
No, now Dan Johns, when I first met him, I called him up to talk to him about Jim Wickstrom getting kicked out up there and everything. And like I said, okay, I did one or two radio shows with him, and I would start using the word Jew and serpent seed and devil. And he would never use those terms. He was such a coward.
He's a Jew boy himself here. What happens?
I never met him in person. I just talked to him on the phone.
Well, the thing about this is in 2004, you go ahead and read that August Christ and Bradley Jenkins wanted to be his ass because they thought he was a Jersey Jew boy. And Eli James went ahead and kept them from beating his ass. And that's why, Eli James has gone ahead and saved Dan Johns' at bacon quite a few times here. And essentially, though, is that people sort of figured out what Dan Johns is. They sort of figured out what Eli James is. And essentially, it's gotten to where they can't, you know, they can't stand to, you know, any heckling. You know what I mean? They can't stand any heckling. And Dan Johns, he's pretty well the worst of the lot. He will just simply block all guests. Well, when you go ahead and you block all guests, essentially what you do is that by blocking the hecklers, you show that you are scared, you know, to argue with anything here. Me, I don't mind hecklers. I have a problem with spammers, but I don't mind hecklers. You idiots can heckle all you want. Guest number 16 was being quite the ass clown. But, essentially, I have better things to do than work, you know. Anyway, here. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And we've been on for about 50 minutes. That's probably as long as I want to take. We'll go ahead and have some dead air for about 2 minutes. Hail victory. Okay, folks, we're back for the next segment of the Movement Third. And anyway, I'm looking at this here. Andreas, what you might do is you might go ahead, the best reloading thing I've ever found out, and it, you know, it doesn't make a whole awful lot, is to go ahead and get you what's called a Lee loader. And what happens, you'll have the dies necessary. You can't make a whole awful lot of them at a time, like with a machine or something like that, but what you can do is, if you're really into, quote, consistency, what you can do is you can weigh out, if you have a powder scale or something like that, you can weigh out every single bolt and get within about, what, half a grain, and you can go ahead and measure the powder charges to whether a tenth of a grain, and you will have a super, super, super accurate thing here for a Lee loader. Now, they used to cost $20, then they went up to $25, I bet they're about $50 now. But pretty well, you can go ahead and get a caliber with a Lee loader, and essentially it's not like a press. You can go ahead essentially and just use your hands, or essentially mount it to a desk or something, you know, something like that, and go ahead and, if you know what you're doing, you're paying attention, you can go ahead and make about, probably about 15, 20 rounds, you know, 15, 20 rounds per hour, you know, or you can go ahead and take longer to do that here. Lee loader, Dillon 1050 is the best. Well, maybe, you know, maybe it, maybe it is here. You know what I mean? But, you know, maybe this other guy knows something. I used to go ahead, I had a Lee loader for my 30-06, and then what happens is then I had the dies for 7.62 by 39, that's an AK or SKS round. And what happens is that you can go ahead and use that Lee loader for a number of things. Now, what it does, it comes with a little powder measure here for 30-06. I wouldn't want to use the same powder for, say, for a Russian SKS or something like that. But you can buy a little powder scale or something like that here. And then you go ahead and buy the little, projectiles, as they call them here. And, folks, I used to have another Lee loader for 12-gauge shotgun. You know what I mean? I used to reload 12-gauge shotgun shells.
Hey, Marty.
Yeah.
A lot of people that used to do this a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
They told me the price of the bullets and the brass, I mean, even if you save your own brass, you still have to buy the powder and the primers and all that.
Yeah.
And they told me the price of all that's gone through the roof. So sometimes, is it cheaper to buy surplus ammo in large amounts as opposed to reloading? I mean,
well, it's like this. So you used to have, if you're firing an SKS, you know, I remember when essentially you could buy a thousand rounds like for what, $50 or something like that. But what they were is that they were essentially called Norinco, and what they had, they had steel cases, and essentially what they had, they had real hard lead. They had real hard lead, you know, inside there, and essentially, I once knew this one guy, he actually reloaded them because they were Behrden primers here. He would go ahead and ream out all these steel cases, and he said, well, it's real for my dies, but I'm able to go ahead and reload them. And I was thinking, why? I mean, you're firing from an SKS. An SKS, essentially, is not a sniper rifle. I mean, essentially, you're going ahead and firing this, you know, you're firing a Norinco SKS that used to be part, you know, Chinese Army surplus here that they went ahead and used. And then you're firing, you're firing the steel case SKS ammunition here, which is made by the billions of rounds. It's not, you know, it's not super accurate, but you're firing a freaking SKS. This is not a sniper round. Now, when you're going ahead and talking about, I mean, you will save some if you're going, but usually what people do when they're into hand loading, you know, like what you do if you have a Lee loader, what you could, you know, I mean, well, you also have these, you know, I have these friends, they have all these here presses and all these here little circular things, and they can go ahead and load up essentially like it's running on a little line. All they have to do is, you know, just go ahead and you have the thing which will go ahead and decap, you know, deprime, resize, you know, we put in powder and put in seat and crimp the bullet. Essentially do that here. Well, folks, when you talk about Lee Loader, you're talking about one round at a time here, and usually, if you're paying attention, take about a minute or so per round. You're not going to make a lot. You're not going to go ahead and make a lot of them here. But if you're really into going ahead, what you do is you can take the projectiles and weigh out every projectile and put them all consistently. You know, about the set, you know, there'll be a variation of about maybe half a grain size, because you might have 150 or 180 or whatever on 30-06. You'll have different, you'll have little variations here, not big ones, and then you can go ahead and you can weigh out all the powder charges, and essentially you can go.
You're going for accuracy.
Well, you're going for super, super, super accuracy from a hand load. What happens, the factory load is not as accurate here, but on the other hand, if you're firing SKS here and the thing has essentially about a 4-inch spread, be it the chink made bullet or whatever, it's a 4-inch spread, firing from a chink made, from a chink made SKS. This is not a sniper rifle.
Basically, if you're gonna be a top sniper, you want the bolt action, and you want hand loaded rounds, and basically, a lot of this gets real expensive. I mean, if you want a super good sniper rifle, you can't just go down to Walmart and buy a piece of shit.
Okay, you can go ahead and probably get a Minavangle rifle or something like that. John Britt was saying is that if you go ahead and get a Swedish Mauser, essentially they will not accept it unless it's about a quarter Minavangle, which means a quarter inch at 100 yards. That's real, 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 real good here. But essentially, if you go ahead
I used to have an 8mm Mauser. It was like made back in the World War One or one. But I got rid of it because the damn thing, it was only a bolt action, and the rounds were, basically you couldn't carry a lot of rounds with you because it was so heavy, ammo was so heavy, and the rifle was so long and unwieldy, and you couldn't put a scope on it either because it had an iron.
Well, I bought a cheap old Goo 1898, it was the one before the Mauser came out.
8mm Mauser, German.
Well, what happens, the English had 303, the Americans had 30-06. What happens, the Germans had 8mm, which is a little bit bigger than 30 caliber, okay? But essentially, they all had pretty well they'd all have a service round here. You know what I mean?
I've got a 30-06 now, but I mean, basically I think a 308's more common, but I've got a 30-06 because I got a good deal on it, but
yeah.
It's not a...
Okay. You're not buying a sniper round. But what happens is if you're really into accuracy, if you can spend more time on every single round by weighing every single projectile and weighing every single grain of powder, and you can go ahead and probably make as accurate or more accurate a thing from a cheap Lee loader. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're talking about reloading. I mean, essentially, I didn't get into it enough to where I was shooting, thousands of rounds per month or day or year. I mean, essentially what happens is that I was going ahead and reloading shotgun shells, because it was, a little bit cheaper, It was a little bit cheaper to buy the shot, buy the powder, buy the wad. The wad was a penny. I mean, essentially what happens is it would cut by about half the price of going ahead and firing factory rounds here. Now, if you're really into super accuracy and you still don't have the money for a high-priced, expensive sniper rifle, you can go ahead and essentially make up for the accuracy by making a consistent round where they're all...
Okay, so wait a minute. If you reload your own ammo, you're going to save about half of what the ammo would cost?
Well, maybe you used to. I don't know. I've not bought any primers. I've not bought any, projectiles. I've not reloaded anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, but it used to be that you would go ahead and save essentially the price of the case, so you'd end up saving, you know, if you reload it, you save about half to two-thirds. You know what I mean? You know, by reloading yourself. Okay? But on the other hand, what you can do, what you
I mean,
go ahead...
So, I would reload. I wouldn't reload shotgun or handgun, but a sniper rifle... If I had the setup, I would reload that.
Well, no. What a handgun is usually the best thing to go ahead and reload, because what you can do is, if you're really into it, you can go ahead and just simply, go ahead and melt these tire weights or lead pigs or something like that. Usually, a rifle, you'll have real bad fouling because it's a supersonic round. But in many cases, say a bullet or something like that, you can go ahead and recast a hard lead bullet. And essentially, it don't really freaking matter. You know what I mean? For the projectile, all you have is the primer and the powder. And essentially, here you are firing these old, you know, these lead tire weights, and you put plenty of antimony to go ahead and make the lead hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's some people who do that. There's some people who are really so into it, what they will do is they'll go out to these shooting ranges and they will dig out the lead after it rains. They'll go ahead and dig out the lead from the berm. They'll go ahead and pick up all this lead. You know what I mean? The rain will go ahead and wash away the dirt, huh?
All you gotta do is heat the lead back up and pour it into a mold and recreate a new bullet. And basically, it saves a lot of money. And you can custom... do hollow points, do like a semi-wad cutter, you know, like cut holes in it, and maybe put a little Teflon, maybe make it a heavy penetrator, you know, steel coat or steel jacket.
Well, there's some people that are so into it, what they will do is they'll take this 22, you know, rimfire brass shells here, and what they will do is that they will take that brass and put it around a 22 caliber centerfire cartridge. You know, some of these people do that as well. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And they have a special tool for that. And essentially, what happens, they save on jacketed bullets. Now, a rifle will go ahead, in many cases, see, a 22 can go ahead and have a lead bullet here because, essentially, it's not too much more, you know, it's not a super high, you know, it's not a super high caliber. But if it's a super high caliber, you can't go ahead and fire a lead bullet because it'll foul the, you know, foul the rifle grooves. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, I mean, but there are people into it. I wasn't a super reloader. I was not a super reloader. I had a friend who went ahead and he had all this reloading equipment. And one day I went ahead and bought a DuPont pound of, you know, what happens cost $4 or $5 here. I went ahead and bought a DuPont pound of powder, and I went ahead and had these projectiles, and essentially I went ahead and used his, you know, his machinery. He had the tools and the dies. He had the dies to go ahead, and essentially I went ahead and loaded up a whole bunch of, ammo here. But on the other hand, I used a Lee loader for most of my reloading here, be it shotgun shells or 30-06, you know, rounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay?
I got you.
All right.
Right now, I don't have all the reloading equipment, but if I did, basically, I mean, if you don't have time to reload, the best thing to do is to buy a real common round, whether it's pistol or rifle, and the most, if you're going to get shotgun, 12-gauge would be the only one to get, you know. And basically go for like cheaper than dirt or someplace like that and buy a bunch of bulk surplus. But, you know, basically, I bought a long time ago, and I haven't bought any recent ammo, but I think that it's gone up a lot in price.
It has. And part of the reason it's gone up in price is that, hey, everybody's buying all these guns here. What I want to go ahead and talk about on this militia movement,
I know what I was going to bring up.
Okay.
Instead of being a stupid wigger and joining National Socialist Movement or some of these other organizations, it's better to be in small groups like you put on your email, a small group of trusted family or friends, and basically go underground and, you know, don't trust any outsiders and basically don't advertise anything.
Well, yeah, why do that here? I mean, they're probably members of your own family you can't trust. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, hell, I got leaders all over. So basically, I'm a lone wolf. I don't trust any. I'll do a radio show with you, Linda, or Russell, or whoever. But as far as the people around me close, my family, I mean, I taught them a long time ago identity, and they don't care about it. So I'm just going to shut my damn trap, and I'm not going to tell them shit anymore. I mean, because, you know, they've already denied Yahweh the truth, and just let Yahweh deal with these wiggers. I mean, I told everybody at work, all the wiggers at work, I told them about, you know, what I believe because they wanted to know. I thought I got fired, too. I had to go to a psychiatrist and everything and all that. They wanted to fire me, and they tried to call me a racist, and I was violent and all this other bullshit. So basically, I'm just going to let y'all...
Yeah, well, what good did it do you? What good did it do you trying to go and tell these idiots, about, you know, Christianity? I mean... I've never had any, you know, what happens, my dad went ahead and took me to church, and as a young person, I'd go ahead and see all these new converts, and they get in, you know, in Herbert Armstrong's church, and they would try to go ahead and convert their wives, they'd try to go ahead and convert their boss, they'd try to go ahead and convert their friends and their relatives, and essentially, that very seldom worked out very good, you know what I mean? In fact, like, almost never, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what you gotta understand is that when I go ahead and say is that you're the found sheep of the, you know, the house of Israel, you have to be the chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ call. And it comes from this hymn, you know, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call. But what happens is that first you have to have the proper race. And then Jesus Christ got to extend you grace. And then and only then will you be a found sheep of the house of Israel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And trying to go ahead, I mean, essentially like Eli James being a Jew boy, you know, bringing in Mamzers like Brian Rio and all these other tards and Finkelsheeny and the rest here. I mean, you know, folks, it used to be Christian identity, it used to mean something. Now, all it means is that it's wall-to-wall Mamzers and Muds. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm telling people is that, and what happens is that all across the Zogland, I mean, the reason this thing comes up is the Southern Poverty Law Center horseshit that's coming up, you know, all the fussing and fighting about all these hatred, all these hate people, all these bad people here who are haters and all this sort of shit. Well, the fact of the matter is that Zog is finding out, and the police are finding out, is that there's a lot of people who do not like Zog Babylon, who are at odds with it, who essentially do not give a shit for it, but essentially what they're trying to do is they're trying to find out who they are. And folks, I'm saying, don't give them the advantage of knowing who you are. There's no sense in running around in a uniform like a clown. There's no sense in running around essentially making an ass clown of yourself for people who don't like that sort of thing anyway. What is the purpose of that? And what you end up having is that you have a lot of people knowing and understanding that essentially there's nothing to be saved. There's nothing good about Zog Babylon. There's nothing except evil in it. And
I totally agree. I don't like this Wigger Nation. I mean, I've been telling everybody, we're the melting pot of the world. I mean, America's just basically been turned into one big shithole.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're totally broke. China owns us. Well, basically the Jews own us, but China's trying to come over here and take over. And basically, the majority of the white people, they're not going to stand up and fight for their race or for Yahweh. And they're just going to roll over and die. That's what they want. They're cowards.
That's what they want, yeah. So anyway, what you end up having is you have more and more of this.
Hey, just let Yahweh keep on sending them a real strong delusion and they can keep on believing a lie.
Well, they believe lies because they're liars.
Yeah. They love the Jew. They love Satan and his kids. They love the lies. They love the Hollywood. They love their little drugs and their alcohol and their premarital sex and their race mix and their homosexuality and their bestiality. and they love all their, you know, basically just all their race mixing churches and everything. I mean, just like my stepdad, he thinks it's great that all these other races are in America. It's not even pure white. I said, well, if you have the opportunity to go live in an all-white country, would you do it? He said, hell no. I mean, he's just a wig, and I don't even know if he's pure white. Hell, I don't, I mean, come on, I mean, he's kind of got dark, I mean, hell, he's not my relative, he's my mom's second husband, and, he's just a damn drunk. I mean, if he ever raised his hand and beat, I mean, he's always cussing her out, cussing me out, cussing my uncle out, and raising hell, but he won't get violent and hit anybody. I mean, like, he's not going to beat up on my mom because she wouldn't put up with that shit. So basically, she's just really desperate because she's real old and she don't want to be alone. So she just puts up with a damn drunk, you know.
Okay, look at the Tards. Look at the Tards chat. Number 24 and number 25, I think, are Tards here. Maybe one of them is even open gender bender. Anyway, I went ahead and made up a joke. You have old, fat old Red Mike Vanderkuyk, you know. Looking there, the Patriot Movement explodes as the election approaches. Radical anti-government groups skyrocket. And let me see. Oh, you have Alex Jones. Alex Jones, as I call him here. You have a picture of fat old Red Mike Vanderkuyk. Let me see. Mark Patak. The number of hate groups and militias, they're going up, 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 up here. They were so high in 1995, 1996, and then they went to decline in 97, 98, 99, 2000, and even further. And folks, the reason the suburban Uyghur, you know, militias went into decline, the reason they went into decline is that essentially they got caught, well, trying to go in and betray the, quote, extremists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And essentially now they're growing again. Well, see, the reason they're growing again essentially is that people understand that there's no saving Zog. There's nothing good about Zog. It's falling apart. And
it's falling apart on its own, and we don't have to do shit. We just have to survive the great tribulation and the hell that's fixing to come down. And basically, you know what? We can't save the whole white race. They don't want to be saved anyway. Yahweh don't want to save them. Basically, we need to save ourselves and anybody around us that wants to listen and come into the truth. But basically, we just need to save ourselves. Because I'm going to tell you, when I first got Identity Martin, I tried to go out to all the white people, all my family and friends. I tried to help everybody and tell them. And they don't want to hear it. They don't give a shit. They're cowards. I mean, the hell with them. You know, if they turn their back on Yahweh and they deny him and his words, he's going to deny them. So basically, I mean, I had the same attitude as Yahweh, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know?
Well, they're bitching about black separatist groups here. I was, you know, I was locked up with this nigger of Islam, and essentially he used to believe all this, you know, 13th Amendment, all this sort of stuff, and I'd say,
yeah.
I'd say I knew these guys, and what happens is that, you know, at least half of them were Klansmen, you know, the others were Christian identity. I mean, you know, and you're believing this sort of thing, but essentially he believed in sovereign citizens. He'd go ahead and go yak, 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 yak about this here. So you have quite a bit of it. They're naming Christian identity, of course. Let me see. Supposedly, you know, they say it's being declined because it's arcane Bible-based doctrines hold little interest for young racists. The last year that trend reversed itself as a new identity group, Crusaders for Yahweh, appeared with 30 chapters, led by Paul Mullett. Mullett's an nincompoop, you know what I mean? Mullett's an idiot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who, you know, left that group in 2010.
Hey, listen, some of these people in the chat room are total tards and clowns. I mean, a lot of them have already said they don't care about the Bible or Yahweh. They're just in here to
they're just tards. I mean,
yeah.
24 and 25 are the biggest clowns. You had 16 who was a clown, and so it might be 24,
25.
Huh?
Now, what about guest number 24, I think he's a clown.
Let me see. he's balls deep in her every night. Yeah, this is a dim buster tard. Yeah, of some sort.
The damn drunk. I mean, come on. I mean, the only thing he's deep into every night is a beer can. Really?
Yeah. Oh, they're yakking about how mullet.
Hey, I keep on hoping that he'll die before my mom because, see, even though my mom had a prenuptial, he's such an asshole. If she dies first, he's going to want to take all her house. And see, basically, the prenuptial, if they get divorced, or if she dies first, he doesn't get shit because he didn't bring anything to the marriage. My mom owned the house, the land, all the cars. My mom owned everything. And he was, I mean, he made good money. He was in the military and everything, but he blew all his money at his beer joints and everything. And when she met him, when my mom met him at a singles dance, his two best friends were two filthy spicks. Okay? Race mixed and spicks that like to screw anything and get drunk and do drugs. And he said, I mean, this guy, he claims to be white German or whatever, but I don't think he's pure white. Okay. I don't think, I mean, a lot of so-called whites aren't pure white. But if he is white, if he's not a Jew or mongrel, he's a total wigger. I'm telling you.
Okay. I'm looking at this thing about Billy Roper shut down his white revolution group, citing health and financial problems as his own failings as a leader. And there's former members to follow him into Tom Robb's Knights Party in Arkansas Klan group. And essentially they're going on to where they're making a big thing out of Morris Gillette here. I don't see why. I mean, Gillette's just nothing more than a drunken crackhead who you got kicked out of Aryan Nations. But they're making their Aryan World Congress since its founder died in 2004. Well, no. I mean, old Augie used to, hold some of these Aryan World Congresses at the Redneck Shop in Lawrence, South Carolina. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think Augie ever had anything like what Butler had. I think Augie was...
No, he never did. But then again, Mo Gullet don't have anything like, Butler had either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of the old-timers, they know dang well that, especially Mo Gullet, everybody thinks, the Britton family, I do, thinks that old, that Mo Gullet is just a Zogbot for all practical purposes here. But I'm looking at this thing, the Council of Conservative Citizens, Kevin MacDonald, James Edward, okay, Jamie Kelso, alrighty.
Yeah, Jamie Kelso is on that Voice of Retards.
Well, yeah. I mean, shoot. I mean, if he knew I was spying on Uyghur News Now here, I'd probably get my ass booted there from there, but oh well.
How come all these white people and, like Billy Roper and August Christ, how come they all get diabetes? I mean, is it so?
Because they get big and fat here. I mean, this one guy I talked to, he had type 1 diabetes. He had diabetes when he was young here. I mean, essentially, it was a genetic problem here. Essentially, Roxy, she got type 2 diabetes. And she went to the doctor today here for her wounds. And, for her wounds here. And essentially, they said she went ahead and told me to tell, pretty well they said is that they wanted to thank me because essentially I go ahead and doctor Roxy up pretty well once, every night here, what I mean, before she goes to bed. And she says that you have people from the nursing home with bed sores and essentially their wounds are not taken care of. I mean, essentially they get infected, they just get black, they get dirty and all that, and essentially they wanted to go ahead and they told her to give me, to thank, to pretty well, say, your husband's been doing a real good job of taking care of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, pretty well, but on the other hand, I sort of think that, this diet of nothing but sugar, nothing but slop, all this other crap, essentially this, high fructose corn syrup. I mean, essentially, you get too much of that shit, it's going to screw you up. I mean, essentially, I think it's a pancreas...
Well, it's hard to eat healthy. I don't drink.
I think it's a pancreas buster. Now, what I will do is I will go ahead and I will buy this.
Corn syrup is horrible. It's bad. I mean, I try to avoid it. I mean, I'll tell you what.
Well, I'll drink a little bit of Coke every so often, but I pretty well avoid it. What I will do is I will go ahead and make iced tea, and when I make I'll go ahead and make 2 quarts of it here. You know, what happens, I'll heat it up in a coffee, you know, Mr. Coffee thing here, boil it up, put 2 big, you know, family tea bags in it, and what I'll do is I'll put a third of a cup sugar. I'll put a third of a cup of white sugar in it, and essentially I'll go ahead and mix it up with some of this great peach, you know, drink here, and have peach tea or, you know, some of this berry tree, which it does have some.
Okay. I get like pineapple juice or something to make half and half.
Yeah.
Sometimes I squeeze a lemon in there.
Yeah.
And basically, I used to put honey in there, but if you put lemon or pineapple juice, you don't even need sugar or honey, just because it's already sweet with the fruit juice. And I mean, that's the best way to go, because sugar, I mean, if you use real sugar, it rots your teeth out.
Yeah, well, I don't have too many left here, so that's not really.
I mean, I know what you're saying. Guest number 25 is talking shit about me and you, and he says you're full of shit. He's saying it's kind of.
Marty's piss jug tea is the best here. Marty needs to go back to the crazy house permanently. We may not even have a Nimbuster Tards. This may be Obit's Edge or Bender. What's hilarious is that the real William B. traced Obi Gender Bender back to One Nigger's Project here. You know what I mean? One Nigger's Project. So maybe Obi is just a Jew boy transsexual. You know what I mean? And when we talk about Obi, I need to go ahead and download the thing from the Fugitive here, David Kimball is looking for the one-eyed man. What happens? Obi Gender Bender is looking for the one-eared dingo here that stole his pickle, you know, in Alice Springs lorry lot. You know, 10 years ago. So anyway, here.
I'll tell you what. I think you had the right. I think you got the right idea about basically just forming small groups all over the country, because
it's pretty well the 10,000 Warlords Project. Essentially, is that folks. What do you do with people? What do you do with policemen who go ahead and essentially support doing evil, doing nothing but evil and destroying white people and putting them in prison, you know, and sending them to go ahead and be murdered and raped by niggers? I mean, essentially, if you're a policeman, essentially, you're a criminal. You're a traitor. You know, whether you're a Mamzer, you need to be executed out of hand, you and your entire family. If you're a Whigger, you're a traitor. You and your family and this bloodline needs to cease to exist here. And if you're a social worker, you're a judge, you're a lawyer, you're whatever, essentially what you are is you're a supporter of destroying Yahweh's servant nation. Therefore, you are a racial traitor and you and your entire family need to die. There's nothing to go ahead and discuss. How are you going to go ahead and find out who is doing good and who is doing bad when essentially the very self-same criminals, who are deciding your fate, they get to go ahead and decide what is going to be brought up in court, how it's going to be brought up in court, whether it's to be brought up in court, and they're going to go ahead and cover their own tracks here. Why in the world? I mean, I know this pig went ahead and shoved me twice while I was shackled to where I landed on my face and 4 of my teeth got broken off at the gum line. You know what I mean? I know this pig did this. And essentially, here's this other pig. He's pretending it didn't happen. He's going ahead and claiming that I tried to escape while I was shackled. You know, and that's why I got all, you know, damaged.
Okay, so this was in the hospital.
No, this was taking me up to the nut house on December 6, 2005. This was taking me up. And, you know, this pig named Don Hunt went ahead and did it. And essentially, they knew, you know, these pigs knew all about it. And essentially, look, pig, one pig commits a crime. It's the same as you all commit a crime. Essentially, you're all guilty, you and your entire families. And, folks, you know, I mean, I got to go ahead. Essentially, Iron Felix Dzerzhinsky understood that. Essentially, he didn't go ahead and ask stupid questions as to which pig was more guilty than the other. Essentially, if you served the regime, you were guilty. That's that. Nothing more to add. You know what I mean? And he might very well go ahead and torture for a confession, but essentially he didn't, you know, the purpose of that was not to really coerce a confession. The purpose of the torture was to go ahead and terrorize anybody who was siding with the former regime. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't to go ahead and coerce a confession or anything like that here. It was to go ahead and essentially destroy anybody who was against the new order of life.
When you were in the nut house, did everybody there, like all the guards, all the hospital staff, all the, I know some of the inmates, did everybody there knew that you were two C-line identity and that you were racial, everybody?
Well, what happens, most of them didn't know what the fuck two C-line. I mean, I had this piece of shit social worker. I went ahead and told them essentially the basics of dual seed line. He just laughed. He just thought it was so freaking absurd. He'd never heard anything like that before. You know what I mean? And he was whining like a pussy, just like this faggot over on Mutant Spurfront. Well, how can you say you're a man of God? You don't like everybody. You're just full of hate. You know what I mean? And essentially, he knew damn well I wasn't insane.
If everybody finds out that you're racial, I mean, even the Uyghurs, they want to basically, the Uyghurs want to come against the white people that are racial.
Well, you know, they might with you.
What a good little wigger they are, and they're not racist because they're going against the racists. That's
yeah. Well, see, usually when a wigger goes ahead and sees me going ahead talking about this, essentially, you know, he's sort of scared. I guess they sort of think I'm so far gone that essentially I'm just a dangerous maniac. You know what I mean? My roommate, he was a pervert who went ahead and claimed that he was crazy because he sexually molested a six-year-old girl. Now, this six-year-old girl, he was the third out of four of them. Essentially, her mother had been pretty well sold into sexual slavery by her mom. Essentially, you end up having a whole bunch of Uyghurs and Anglo-Mestizos. Essentially, they breed their children essentially for purposes of sexual blackmail and all this sort of thing here. And essentially he was the third out of four in line here. And, essentially what happens, he claimed that he was crazy because he got bitten twice by a black widow spider. So that's what made him have sex with a six-year-old girl. And essentially he was a pervert is what he was here. He was a race mixer and a pervert. And him and me used to have arguments,
was,
huh?
Was he a Uyghur?
Yeah, he was a Uyghur. You know, his name was Larry. And, you know, I used to call him Larry Goofy because his last name was sort of close to Goofy. So I called him Larry Goofy. We used to have arguments. He thought the Jews were God's chosen people. He believed that, you know, he sort of had, you know, some idea about Mormon is that, you know, Satan's kids were niggers because they had dark skin, which was sort of like the Mormon belief. He had a number of idiotic beliefs here. I did see him one time looking up Sephardic. I told him, look up the difference between Sephardic and Ashkenaz. See, and you'll find out that, there's two different types of Jews, and he didn't agree, but I caught him looking at this here, computer encyclopedia for himself here. So essentially, but he didn't dare look up any further here. Once he found out how far he was going, you know, he'd go so far. We used to have arguments to 2 or 3 in the morning, mainly about Jews, but sometimes he'd be yapping this shit about how the United States could defeat Iran and how their missiles didn't mount to anything. And I told him, as I used to be a nuclear missile battalion, essentially, you know, all you need is about $100 worth of welded aluminum pipe and a truck, you know, and, you know, 2 6-inch strips, you know, right down the middle of the truck to go in, you know, put between two firing pins. And essentially, you could go ahead and have a, you could pretty well have a fairly accurate, you know, launch site here, missile site. And, well, hell, he didn't want to believe that, but, oh well, I mean, shoot. You know, he was a pervert. He was, you know, he was a sex predator here. And he did not agree. He sort of figured out that I wasn't a pervert like him, but essentially he was whining. When he got all mad here, he'd say he was going to tell a psychiatrist that I was worse than Adolf Hitler and worse than Joseph Stalin because I was a homicidal maniac who wanted to kill all the pigs and all the judges and lawyers and psychiatrists. And I said, Larry, there's no need for you to be a bitch snitch and, you know, go tell, you know, the local psychiatrist that, because I already told that cocksucker everything. You know what I mean? I mean, this shit's already in my fucking chart that I'm a racist, homicidal, racist, religious bigot here and all this sort of shit here. And see, what happens is Whiggers, they view race, you know, what happens when I was a kid, homosexuality was a mental disease. And what happens is that essentially nobody really liked niggers, but you weren't supposed to say that even when I was a kid. But now, what happens, you're a faggot, well, you're perfectly normal, and if you're a racist, you're mentally ill. You know that? I've had these stupid psychiatrists claim that I was mentally ill because I was racist. You know what I mean? Goofy bastards. Huh? Think about that. Think about it is, though, is that usually...
If somebody calls me a racist and they want to send me to prison, all I got to do is pretend like I'm crazy. Because basically, I think that...
Well, they already think you're... And Logan, there's a lot of people think you're crazy, regardless of whether or not you're a racist here. But in any case, no, I mean, when they go ahead, when these characters talk to me, as they looked at it, I was just... I was either a malingering criminal or I was, if I talk about real Christian identity, I was a freaking nutcase. You know what I mean? So if I didn't talk about, about my religious beliefs, I was a malingering criminal who molested his grandson, therefore I was just malingering. If I did talk about Christian identity, I was just a hardcore nutcase. I mean, essentially, there's no freaking way you could win. You know what I mean? If you talk about what you really believe, you're a nutcase. If you don't talk about what you believe, you're just a malingering criminal. You know what I mean? No, there's no freaking way I could win.
Hey, let me ask you this. Martin. If you get sent to the nut house as opposed to prison, do they force drugs on you against?
They certainly did when I was there. They're having a little more trouble because essentially this U.S. versus Sells opinion has finally gone ahead and percolated down to the district court level. You know what I mean? What happens,
that guy that was 87 years old from Grand Junction, Colorado, John Leonard, he used to do the show with me. And I think he took on the government. He didn't want to pay his taxes, or he was married 4 times. I think one of his wives. I forget what happened, but anyway, he got sent to the nut house. And he would have stayed in there if it hadn't have been for his sister. His sister was a nurse from Texas or something, and she drove up there. But he was so drugged up, he didn't know where the hell he was at or what he was doing. And he had already been in it 3 or 5 years. And if it hadn't been for his sister, and she was a nurse, and she jumped all over all the doctors and the nurses that were pumping him full of drugs, she finally got him out of that insane asylum. But
well, that's exactly what the hell he did. But on the other hand, Logan, let me just tell you what's going on here. I mean, essentially, what happens, a lot of these nut houses are closing. There are people who are really screwed up. There was this one guy, he was in the nut house in the 80s. He killed a used car salesman while he was nuts. And what happens, he was at the nut house for 3 years, and they turned him loose. And then he went back here, and he killed three people. Three homeless, drunken niggers. I think they were niggers, but maybe one of them was white. He killed three homeless bums, you know, on park benches in the park in St. Louis. So essentially he was there. And when I first seen him, he had this twitch here. Well, they doped him up so much, this twitch got even worse here, which is called tardive dyskinesia. And what happens, he started saying, die, die, die. And what happens, he was a very smart man, but he was nutty as hell. And essentially, he'd go ahead, what he would do is he would lie on the floor, and he had a big old sheets of yellow notebook. And what happens, he'd be reciting for when he wanted to go ahead and go to court as his own lawyer, and he'd go ahead and prove is that, well, you can't go ahead and prove that I actually killed these people because I was busy going ahead and doing, you know, killing this other guy when I was, you know, you accused me of killing these other people. And essentially what happens is make perfect sense, but you'd know he'd freaking do it. And he'd be going, he'd be twitching, and he'd say, die, die. Last time I went ahead and heard about him, about 6 months ago, here they were trying to say he was competent to face trial after being locked up and doped up to the gills for about 15, 20 years. And essentially what they're trying to do is that these nut houses, well, it's like this here, 500, you know, essentially you have a lot of these nuts, and I got to see people, really nutty people. And what happens is it usually costs, about five or six times to go ahead and house these nuts as it does even in a penitentiary. And the thing about it is that you have all these state budgets, which are essentially they're having problems. They're having to, they're having to go ahead and, what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep the core things of, K through 12 schools. I call them kiddie prisons, and the actual prisons. So what they're doing in Missouri, they have another budget shortfall. This time they've gone ahead and cut 13% from all the universities, from all the state-run universities. They've gone ahead and cut, all their... I mean, essentially you have all these organizations here. Well, what happens... Okay, well, what happens is that 2003... Let me get tail end of 2003, U.S. versus Sells, the Supreme Court ruled that, yes, they can dope you up. But they also ruled that you have to have a four-page prong to where it's got to be absolutely necessary. There can't be any other choice in the matter. There can't be anything else. There's got to be an effect. Essentially, if these people are too far gone, you can't go ahead and dope them up against their will. And what happens is it's gone up, it's gone down, it's gone up to the district court level, it's gone up to the circuit court level to where, well, nowadays, let's say Gerald Lee Loeffner, the little Jew boy, went in and scragged that Esther Kaikas Congress creator and shot the federal judge. Essentially, initially, they did dope him up, but essentially the federal judge didn't want to go ahead and rule to continue, so essentially they discontinued the force, doping here. But some of these guys...
Gerald B. Loeffner, he was a Jew devil.
He was a Jew boy.
He was programmed, just like the two Columbine shooters were both Jews, and they were programmed to go in there and kill. It was a staged event.
Okay, it was a staged event here.
Was not the number one target. Judge John Roll was the main one they wanted to kill, and basically she was just a collateral damage.
Well, she was probably the one who was there to go ahead and bring the judge in,
Target, but basically that was just a staged event to make it look like she was the main target, when really John Roll was taking on Obama. And they had to kill his ass. And I'll tell you what, Arizona, the governor fucked Obama, John Roll was fucking Obama, and a couple of those sheriffs are fucking Obama, like Joe Appario.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't much care for Joe Appario, but essentially he's making a big deal that Obama's birth certificate is computer-generated.
Basically, Zog is falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, okay...
But getting to the crazy house... Essentially, it's costing more and more and more money. And essentially, what they're doing is that for years, way back until really 1975, 1976, used to have, 3,500 nuts? you know, locked up in the nut house. Nowadays, you only have about 500 or so, and they're criminals. Alabama, this last month here, has decided they're only going to go ahead and warehouse not your ordinary nuts, but essentially your, you know, essentially your criminally insane, you know, and a few of the ones who are just, you know, just absolutely screwed up, who have been in the nut house for a long, long, long time. They're not going to turn them loose. So essentially what they did is that out of their four nut houses in Alabama, they're only going to keep two of them open. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And essentially what happens is that here you have all these people who are just, I mean, America's gotten more and more nutty. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, they said one out of six Americans had mental illness. That was one out of four. And then when I got sent to nut house, I went ahead and looked on the Talmud Vision. They said that half of Americans are fucked up in the head, and I scoffed at that. I said, hell, three quarters of Zoglings are fucked up in the head. You know what I mean? Or more. It ain't just half of them. It's pretty well all of them that are all fucked up in the head. Well, essentially the psychiatrist didn't like me saying that. But essentially what happens is that when I was sent there, it was supposedly under the rubric of, you know, what they call it? Psychotic disorder not otherwise specified. Essentially they claimed I was nuts. Essentially sent me up there. In order to keep me at Biggs, this nigger psychiatrist, Alicia Thompson, and another nigger, V. Marveline French, went ahead and essentially forced me to take, you know, be on risperidone. And essentially, it was just there to go ahead and justify keeping me at Biggs for most of the Matt Blunt administration. Essentially, it was costing, what, about $150,000, $160,000 to keep me up there a year. But essentially, what happens is that, well, if I'm locked up in the nut house on a child molestation charge, I can't cause Matt Blunt any trouble, can I? And the answer is, well, hey, no big deal. And how I got out is that, you know, eventually I got sent over to Gulman. And then here comes a brand new psychiatrist, fresh out of nut school. He says he's a libertarian. I says, well, hey, if you, you know, and by the way, here they were trying to force a public pretender on me. That's why I got sent up there. So what happens is that I went ahead and said, okay, I'll tell you what here. Why don't you go ahead and get me off the forced medication, then there won't be no reason for you to keep me up here anymore. You'll free up a bed for somebody who really needs it. And, oh, by the way, I'm thinking of getting me a lawyer. So what happens, I pretend that I would go ahead and hire a lawyer. Well, what happens is that when I got down there, I said, no, I ain't going to have no fucking lawyer. I want to be my own lawyer. And then, essentially, then once, you know, once I'm allowed to be my own lawyer, well, I want to go ahead and work on my own defense. I want to go ahead and have access to a law library. And then what happens, all the other people who are being accused of child molestation charges, whether guilty or innocent, say, I want to go ahead and dump my public defender, and I got as much right as Winstead to go ahead and, you know, be my own lawyer and get, you know, have access to a law library. And essentially here, you know, here's the, you know, here's old Ken Copeland, you know, saying, what's going to cost? I'm going to have to hire two more pigs just to enlist it to a law library. I said, you're going to have to hire 20 more pigs because essentially there's five or six other ones who want to dump their public pretenders and be their own ones. So you're going to have to go ahead and be sending everybody to law library pretty soon. And essentially, the bail went down from $100,000 to $10,000. I was able to make the, you know, $10,000. And essentially, once I got out there, well, when it came preliminary hearing, my little retarded grandson, said that, you know, hey, this never happened. So the case fell apart. They had to dismiss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what happens is that yesterday, you know, was old little Bub Bub's 14th birthday here, and they've been treating him bad. From what I gather, he was a sweet-minded kid, but none too smart. And what happens is that once they went ahead and took him here, from my Gary got, he sort of turned violent here, and he was trying to beat up, huh?
Is this your son you're talking about?
This is my grandson here.
Your grandson?
Yeah, you know, Lou, we call them Bubby, huh?
And Melissa's got kids, so I can't keep up with all the kids.
Well, Emily's the only one who has kids here. She's not my they're not my biological stepchildren, but as far as I was concerned, you know, or grandchildren, but as far as I was concerned, they were. You know what I mean? Because me and Roxy raised...
You said Melissa lost all her kids.
Emily, not Melissa. Emily.
Emily, that's what I mean. Emily.
And it's spelled, you know, if you want to know how to spell Emily, spell it A-M-A-L-I-E, which means M-A-L-I. You know what I mean? Yeah. Get it? M-A-L-I. You know what I mean?
Okay, so Emily lost all her kids to the state.
Well, yeah, but she gave them up here on the day that I got sent over to Gilman on October 2nd, 2007.
She don't feel bad about that. She don't miss her kids. She don't feel.
Oh hell no! That worthless bitch was treating like it was a freaking vacation here. You know what I mean? Oh, when I was there, I was trying to go ahead and get her to go ahead and. Oh, they took my kids away. I said, okay, well, file this motion. File this notice of appeal, and what happens, we'll tie it up for another 6 months to where they won't get the kids, at least for another 6 months. I'll have to jump through a notice of procedural hoops. And essentially what happens is that she refused to file it, and then on the last day of filing it, 40 days later, found out the lying bitch essentially told Roxy that she'd given the kids up. You know what I mean? So if she give the kids up, there's nothing to appeal, is there? You know what I mean?
No.
You lying bitch. You went ahead and, oh, by the way, tomorrow will be the 3rd anniversary of me getting rid of Fat Ass. What happens is she was running around with a meerkat who had a mental, problem. And essentially, they're acting all nutty here. And essentially, what happens is that she was all pissed off because essentially, I told Fat Ass, it was 3 years, better than 3 years, February 27th when that bogus case had to be dismissed against me. Fat Ass said she wouldn't be a witness on my behalf because she wasn't allowed to be so. Essentially, what happens is about a week or so later, her goofy boyfriend at the time is getting all nutty. He don't have enough money to buy marijuana, so essentially he's acting like a clown. And here are these other clowns who think Emily's just hot shit. So essentially what happens is they get all pissed off at me and they moved out of the house across the street. So what happens is I've been free of Fat Ass for three years now. You know what I mean? So anytime any bill collector goes ahead and calls and asks for Emily, I just simply tell them is that, hey, I run that fat bitch off 3 years ago. You know what I mean? I tell them the last time I heard of her, she was taken up with a blind beaner in Jay, Oklahoma here. Which isn't true here. Now she got a red nigger she's been running around screwing for about a year or so. Anyway. So,
Hey, I'll tell you what, Martin, it's getting late. I'm going to go ahead and tell the audience I got a show tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Time.
Okay.
And we'll send an email out. I guess I'll let you send the email out.
Well, I may do it tonight because tomorrow I'm going to have at least 2 teeth pulled out. And I may not be in a good mood to run my, flap my gums anymore because I'm going to have some sore gums tomorrow. Okay?
Okay. Well, that's fine. Just go ahead and send the email out if you want to schedule the show.
I'll go ahead and schedule the show tonight, okay?
Okay.
All right? Okay. Okay, Logan. Well, we've been knackered for about 57 minutes. Hail victory, and I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
I may not say too much. I may just be, you know what I mean?
That's fine. Just
okay.
All right, thanks.
All right. Well, okay, Logan. Hail victory.
Hail victory, Bob.
Okay. Anyway, folks, I got a bunch of dead batteries on a number of phones, so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to have at least about 2 minutes, phone silence, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Hail victory.
To know my only interest. too late.
Okay, well, I probably should have got on before Andy Donner went ahead and left the chat. But he might be back, he might not, who knows. In any case, it's a been a case here. Folks, I've never been a case, well, I don't know if I've never been a case, but I seldom been a case while I was reloading pistol ammunition. Because usually I don't have a neck or anything like that to where you have to worry about bending or messing up a case or anything like that here. Oh, okay, you bent a 9mm? Oh, okay, well, I don't know. You know, generally, as I remember, you could go ahead and then resize it in a case, and usually they had, when they had a priming, you know, the deprimer, what happens in many cases, the deprimer would go ahead and smooth out that case here, and usually you didn't have too much case stretching for just a little 9mm, pistol here, or a 38 or anything like that here. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Well, there goes one. They used to sell those cases for what? Oh, 9 or 10 cents a piece here. You know, they used to. And generally, what was it? Oh, 20 bullets for, 20 of them for, for about $9 or $10 for 50 of them or so. So that was the same as, you go ahead and save about half of it. Now the projectile had cost about 3-4 cents. There were some people just went ahead and used tire weights, and essentially all they had was the primer, which would cost about a penny and a half, and the powder. You know what I mean? So anyway, getting back on it here. Folks, at the Nut House, supposedly they had a dentist online all the time here. But essentially, he very seldom filled teeth. All he wanted to do was pull them. And at the time, I was waiting for him to go ahead and fix these teeth that had been knocked out. And he didn't do anything. All he wanted to do was pull them. And what happens, I had a bridge, which was part of, after I got out of the Army, I was pretty busy in the Army, so I didn't have time to go ahead and fix my teeth while I was in the Army, so essentially fixed my teeth after the Army, and I had a bridge which went ahead and fell out on the lower jaw. And this worthless bastard wouldn't even glue the thing back on. He didn't have to go ahead and do any expensive bridge work, didn't have to do any root canals. All he had to do was essentially just glue the thing back on. He wouldn't glue the thing back on. So, folks, the dental work that's being done in jails or prisons or whatever, essentially these people being paid a salary and they don't just go ahead and do what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm going to this sort of cheap clinic here to go ahead and get 2, maybe 3 teeth pulled out here, and I'm hoping the 2 of them were front teeth which went ahead and got knocked out. Now, I used to make jokes about how I'd go ahead and charge them $100,000 and build hydraulic, put in hydraulic stainless steel bitey fangs with hydraulic implants, deep, 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 so I could bite, pig necks here. But essentially, I think I will go ahead and make my recommendation. I intend really to run for sheriff, and I'm sort of leaning against going ahead and driving all the way up to Jefferson City in order to have Roxy run for United States Senator. As I look at it, it's time to boycott the state and federal, offices, because, hey, the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that white supremacists don't have the right to run for state or federal office because of the political parties can go ahead and say, well, it's racist, therefore they can't run. And therefore, since whites can't vote for their choice of representation, whites don't have any obligation to go ahead and obey the law or to pay the taxes. Essentially, what we have a criminal regime which is running out of legitimacy, which doesn't have any legitimacy. And about the only thing that prevents this thing from becoming Afghanistan writ large or Iraq is simply inertia and Uyghurs. Uyghurs don't believe in being violent. Now, I've gone ahead and looked, and essentially you have Kevin McDonald going ahead and talking big shit about running some doofus named Merlin something or another as a candidate for president. Well, folks, that's not going to work. I don't know if Billy Roper is going to run for president or John Donetjob is going to run for president. But what difference does it make? It doesn't accomplish anything. So I went there. And here's this Marilyn Russman. She was a bitch. She was in the state representative house. She went ahead and voted to keep the nut houses and the social workers fully funded who are stealing children. And what happens is this guy named George Johnson and the Latham brothers who were charged with child molestation, and the case has had to be dismissed, but not until after about 40-some kids have been stolen. Folks, this shit's been going on for a long, 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 long time here. If you go ahead and look at it, we had this shit occur in the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, and 1900s. This shit's not new. Buying and selling white children. And I was looking at something that was written, the way Uyghurs have been the biggest killers and murderers of white people. Folks, Dresden didn't occur as a result of niggers. It occurred as a result of essentially Jews, Jews were operating race traitor Uyghurs to go ahead and destroy Germany on the part of the British Empire and on the part of white people in America, supposed white people in America. And folks, now what happens is that we pretty well destroyed the Germans, destroyed the German people, destroyed their independence, and now we have lost our own. What happens is you get to where some stupid skank, Mamzer skank, is whining like a pussy that she can't afford $60 a month for birth control when she's going, paying $30,000 per semester to Georgetown Law School. She went ahead and she censored other nationalists, now they're whining about poor old Flesh Rimble. Now, folks, I don't feel sorry for old Flesher. I really don't. I don't have much use for the worthless bastard. And I'll grant you that. I really don't. But, essentially, all this crap, it's nonsense. I mean, shoot, if she just went ahead and made all her customers or, humpers wear a 50-cent condom, well, essentially, what happens is that, she's paying $60. Well, that's 50 cents. $60 a month. Well, hey, that's 120 humps. That's what? Oh, 4 a day? I mean, don't she have enough sense to go ahead and essentially, like a whorehouse in Germany, go ahead and, when the whore's charging 40 marks, tries to go ahead and gets 5 marks for the, condom, you go ahead and you show your own condom. End of discussion. I mean, don't she have enough sense to go ahead and, slap on the price of a condom here for paying or non-paying customers? Now, folks, if you want to go ahead and have any sense here, you're not going to go ahead and hump somebody on the first date. You might do it when you're 20, maybe as old as when you're 25. But folks, generally, you know, generally you don't want to be caught like a, you know, trapped like a rat here, you know, paying for some skank who claims that the kid is yours. So you go ahead and you take the condom. And then after you go ahead and use it, you take the condom with the contents with you. Because you don't want her chewing off the freaking end here and then claiming the kid is yours. But essentially what this, you know, what this skank is insisting is that the taxpayer pay for her birth control. Essentially, the taxpayer has to pay for her getting to screw. Now, folks, why should the taxpayer pay for that? And that's what Rush Limbaugh was trying to say, although he didn't say, he said it rather inelegantly. But on the other hand, I'm not very, what Rush said, I'd have said far worse about that bitch. You know what I mean? A lot worse about that Mamzer skank. That Mamzer's left-wing lying, you know, lawyer skank. But, chew off the end? Well, that's what Wigresses might do here. You know what I mean? Oh, Roper isn't running? Greels? Okay, well, we still have 24 and 25, and they're still cards, okay? Number 6 is me. Okay? So where was I at here? Roper isn't running here. Well, it looks like we got old Siegfried there here. Yeah. Anyway, I was going ahead and quoting, you know, old Mark Pataki. And folks, here he's quoting Morris Gillette, Zogbot, drunken crackhead who got caught as a, quote, Aryan Nations leader. And what he has is about maybe 20 characters who look like they belong in the Nation of Islam. 4 or 5 out of that 20. You have these delusionals. You have Billy Roper, who essentially has admitted that he can't go ahead and run. He can't run a one-ring circus of white revolution. You have Tom Robb with Clint Downey and the rest of these retards here peddling their single seed line no devil doctrine. They're leaders. No, folks, there is a lot of militias, but what happens is that the only ones that are being mentioned are either Tard Corrals, Zog False Fronts, or idiots who definitely want to go ahead and go to prison. There are, just like I believe in, you know, I was talking to this guy who used to be in the militia, and essentially in 2009, 2010, 2011, and coming in 2012, essentially people have understood that the culture of Stalingrad has come and went, that there is no hope for salvation or solution of Zog, that things are going to fall apart. And what they are doing is they are seeking, if their so-called militia, maybe 4 or 5 or 6, or maybe even up to a dozen, although I doubt it, of people that they can know and trust. And essentially, what you're seeing, essentially, is them treating Whiggers like zombies. What they're doing is they're looking for a farm which they could ford up. So, folks, for the political aspect of it, you need to listen to the movement turd, but for essentially the roots, you know, the nuts and bolts here, you need to watch The Walking Dead, although generally some of the stupid shit they do on The Walking Dead is sort of stupid. They go out to drink at bars here, and then they go ahead and shoot criminals, you know, they go ahead and shoot looters who've gone ahead and ganged up in a rape army or something like that. They go ahead and beat the crap out of some, you know, out of this weak little character here who just wants to be just like a dog and join here. He's not really a leader. He's just a little dog who wants to join up. And they're talking about executing him. And then they pull back because the old, you know, the former deputy sheriff pig's kid says finish him off. And they don't know what the hell to do. They can't go ahead and side on one side or the other. They're just like Quiggers. They're always running to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Okay? And it's just like that Herschel said in a previous episode, it's a wonder you people survived this long. Well, yes, it is a wonder at least they survived that long. Folks, if they were serious, what they would do is they would fold up in the house at night, and what they would do is they would build a ditch. They'd go ahead and dig a ditch. They would cut down every tree. Every tree within, what, oh, about a couple hundred yards. And they would go ahead and build a series of stakes in which there's only one or two entrances. And they would go ahead and have their guns centered on these entrances. You know what I mean? Or they'd go ahead and ford them up at night here. But folks, I guess looking upon, I mean, what happens is that settlers going across the plains had enough freaking sense to go ahead and build a barricade. They used to, what, circle the wagons and use them as barricades from which to fight? How come Whiggers, you know, today's Whiggers don't have that much sense, even on mindless zombies? The answer is that they don't. But you have some people who essentially, they're no longer believing these lies that the Southern Poverty Law Center gives them or anybody else gives them. What happens? They're not even on the radar screen. They are understanding is that, hey, if I want to survive, it's up to Yahweh and it's up to me. And some are not even talking about Yahweh. It's up to me. And what they're doing is that they're going ahead and looking for people who they can go ahead and sort of agree with that, hey, it's good that we save ourselves. Because, folks, it's a matter of trust. Now, folks, within Christian identity is turned into wall-to-wall Jews and Mamzers and clowns and Zogbots. That's exactly what the hell it's turned into. That's all it is nowadays. Well, Roper claims to be Christian identity. I mean, he used to at least have enough sense not to trust Morse Gillette here. Now he's going ass to mouth with old Mo Gullet. Okay? He used to go ahead and, he used to love old Rick Spring. I went ahead and found out this thing to where Rick Spring admitted to being a Zog false front here. Folks, Morris Gillette didn't used to have any money from the Howard Grooms estate. Now he has enough to go ahead and get by. To go ahead and put on some of a show in order to go ahead and get tards here. He's had Mamzers like Jeremy Visser and Brian Wright. Essentially, everything he's done is not Christian identity. It's just pretending it being Christian identity. I'm looking at these idiots that the Southern Poverty Law Center says are the great leaders of these hate groups. Folks, these people are retards. These people are idiots. These people are Zogbots. Now, old Patak is right in that you end up having all these people who are understanding. And folks, it is less than, you know, it is what? Out of about 120 million Whiggers? Why, you have what? Oh, maybe 10%, maybe less, who are understanding that there is no saving Zog, that things are falling apart, and what they're doing is they're being called survivalists, they're being called preppers, they're being called whatever. But essentially, people are beginning to understand is that if I want to survive, it's up to me to go ahead and do it. And then, once I go ahead and have enough, how do I go ahead and how do I survive? How do I go ahead and keep make sure that all this food I've saved up, that I get to eat it? How do I make sure these guns that I've saved up, I get to use them? This ammunition, all this other stuff that I've been saving up, how do I determine that I get to keep it? And then it becomes a matter of trust. Who do I trust to guard my back? Folks, when I was in the nut house, I used to go ahead and go with two or three other white guys. And we would go ahead and watch each other's back to make sure that niggers were not sneaking up on us. Murderous, killing niggers. We would go ahead and watch each other's back. Now, most of the time, I would go ahead and I would provide the cookies, what have you. We would have a nice little, I'd give these friends of mine two or three cookies out of a pack of about 15 or 16. give them, you know, give them a friend four, give them another friend four, and then I'd go ahead and get to eat eight of them or six or seven of them. I'd get to eat the majority of them. But essentially, I'd go ahead and give these other guys because essentially they didn't have anybody who cared for them. Essentially, we would watch each other's back in the nut house. Folks, even nuts, even wigger nuts, are able to go ahead and have more sense than their ordinary wiggers are able to do so. Why is that? Well, he's kissing Rob's ass and hoping he can take over his group. Yeah. Folks, the wandering Mamzers. Okay, well, yeah, that's what you end up having. The wandering Mamzers, the wandering Wiggers, the wandering ass clowns. That's exactly what you have here in the bowel movement. What Mark Patak was talking about as dangerous people are anything but. They're dangerous only to themselves. And folks, I have been saying this for 2 years now. What you're going to have happen is that somewhere there, you know, among these 10,000 warlords, as a result of Zog going ahead and propping up the most idiotic of Zogbots, of going ahead essentially and having, what, you know, what is this guy named Holland? Supposed to get $8,000 a month? Well, hell, that's close to $100,000 a year. And how many people did this guy named Holland actually betray? None. He was just a waste of time. He was just simply a waste of money. Sort of like Hal Turner was. Folks, if you go ahead and you see somebody you don't know telling you to go ahead and blow up something or to go ahead and make some automatic weapons or do this or that, why are you even talking to people like that? Why are you even talking to people like that? Even Bill White, Mistis Bill, is, you know, on his blog, is beginning to figure out that VNNF has a percentage higher than anybody in the bowel movement of people who are Zogbots and snitches and traitors. Of people who went to jail who used to be in there, including Bill White. Including, you know, Kevin Harpham. Why in the world do you have to go ahead and say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, send me to jail, send me to prison, I want to be raped by niggers. Why do you need to do that? And the answer is that these people that Southern Poverty Law Center is talking about, these people are idiots. I have not heard anything from Paul Mullett for a long time other than now he's with, what, People for Yahweh. Well, what you'll end up having is a bunch of Anglo-Mestizo Mamzers running around, pretend to be Christian Identity, but at least staying away from Eli James, staying away from Finkelschini. And essentially, all it is just a Zog false front here, you know, run by a petty criminal. Galette, another petty criminal in Zogbot. All these people they mentioned are idiots. And what you end up having now is that you end up having a vast majority of people underground, just like you did back in the 90s. But essentially, unlike the 90s, they know even better than to go ahead and go up above ground. They're keeping their mouths shut. They're not pretending to be constipation militias anymore. What they're doing is they're waiting for things to fall apart. And when things fall apart, it's going to be a free fire zone. How do you go ahead, and when you have an economic, social collapse, a racial and religious civil war, how do you go ahead and build anything? And the answer is you can't build anything. All you can do is wait for the collapse to go ahead and occur, and then for a strong faction to go ahead and impose its will by killing everybody that's against it, and bringing the survivors under one law, their law. And when you go ahead and bring it to where in the case of us Christian day, we believe that the end is going to be, as in Revelation chapter 19, with Jesus Christ coming back, and how there will be bloodshed up to a horse's bridle, up to the horse's bridles. You're talking about what? 4 feet of bloodshed. 4 feet of flowing blood. A river of blood. A current of blood. And that is how things are going to be. There are going to be people who die of starvation. There are people going to die of the disease. There's people going to die of the civil war. And the end result is that when you end up having niggers be niggers when they're trying to survive and killing and eating Quakers, when you end up having Jews going ahead and egging it on here, and Jews are blamed for this financial collapse because they went ahead and took over the banks and essentially brought this thing about. When you end up having a civil war, eventually you're going to have nothing but a few million surviving ex-Whiggers. They won't be Whiggers no more. They won't be able to afford to be Whiggers. So folks, that's what, you know, that's why I believe that my 10,000 Warlords program, because the Zogbots in place are so incompetent, so corrupt, so idiotic, that essentially your natural leadership will be your local warlords. And how will they go ahead and deal with the Zog Babylon? What they will do is that they will just simply say, is that we don't have time to go ahead and figure out which was a good pig, which was a bad pig. Essentially, all pigs are bad. All lawyers are bad. All banksters are bad. All government workers are bad. Everybody is bad. And essentially, if any of those criminal groupings wish to go ahead and become part of the surviving, they're going to have to go ahead and show their good faith by going ahead and killing and betraying their former masters, aren't they? If they want to go ahead and even be part of someone who's going to go ahead and survive. So folks, that's why I like The Walking Dead, because essentially when you go ahead and look at it, if you look at a Whigger being nothing more than a brain-dead, mindless zombie that wants to go ahead and scratch out your life and doesn't have a bit of brains at it here, essentially has a bottomless appetite for your flesh, and the only way to go ahead is to go ahead and crush its skull. Go ahead and shoot it. It might have used to been a human being here, but them days are long gone, and you look at them accordingly. Well, folks, you will be a survivor. You'll be someone, you'll be a white man who will be ready to survive. And that's the only way you're going to do it, okay? So, anyway, okay. I'm not sure what OAL is here. Anyway, folks, it's close to midnight. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. Tomorrow I'm going to be hurting. But in any case, oh, by the way, I got PastorLinstead.org up, and, you know, pretty well got the domain name up for 5 years. And pretty well I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be able to go ahead and get that, you know, get at least the flatline files of that. I'll probably try to put up the PHPBB and the blog, the WordPress blog, which uses PHP. But essentially, that's not, you know, that's not a number one priority, okay? But anyway, I'll be able to go ahead and get this up here, and pretty well safeguardwhitenationalist.org. And folks, we'll be, you know, pretty well I got a lot of things on my plate. But folks, I might be mumbling tomorrow at, you know, at Logan's Logan Hunter show. And folks, love them or loathe them, Logan, at least you hear a number of things there first. Now, sometimes you may not believe them. Sometimes I don't believe them. But on the other hand, it's somewhat entertaining. So, folks, we're going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. ¶¶
stamp out the tyranny. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Why they don't revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrieleis, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrieleis. Why men go revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why men go civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Sogling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out Gatho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.